The shepherd ran for MDDA, Mamumzi, and the CEO for MDDA, Ubaba Mthembu. But before we start, maybe let's start by acknowledging that one of the MDDA staff members was supposed to be here. I'm told that she has to turn back home because of bereavement in the family. The PA to the CEO of MDDA. We just want to pass our condolences to the family and the MDDA family at large in that regard. Must also indicate that the chairperson of NEMISA, acting chairperson of NEMISA, and the internal audit member of ICASA, Ubabu Kabash, has also passed on. I'm sure it's 3 weeks or so, not 2 weeks. We have already, as a committee, sent our condolences to NEMISA and the family in that regard. I just wanted to deal with those issues so that we can then go straight to the business of the day. The first presentation, which is GCIS, I must start by appreciate GCIS and your team that you still remember the time of the meeting that we start at 9. We appreciate that. I'm sure the opposite happens. In other committees, members will be here and presenters will still be landing at the airport. But in this case, the presenters will be here, members will be still trying to get out of their office to the meeting. It's the opposite. But I should acknowledge that you are time conscious, you understand the certain time and so on. But having said that, our approach that was starting now, but we are here before 8, before 9, when I saw first most of your delegation here and so on. Having said that, we are starting with our first presentation from GCIS. I hope that members, they've got all the necessary documents, the presentation from GCIS, the strategic plan from GCIS, and the annual performance plan. I've got the three documents. The strategic plan, annual performance plan, and the presentation itself. So, assuming that members have gone through all the documents, when we ask questions, we'll be asking throughout all the documents, the three documents which are before us and so on, including the presentation. But I'm not sure GCIS, I'm sure we are ready. But before we can start, the deputy minister is here. I don't see the minister yet. Probably the deputy minister will be able to give us the strategic overview of GCIS for this year, financially, before we go to the presentation. Honorable Pata.
No, Chair, maybe let me first give an apology that the minister will not be able to join us. He had to rush back to Pretoria yesterday. So on other emergency assignments that was given to him, so he will not be able to join us, but I'm here representing the office of the minister. And also that will allow the GCIS to present, and I'll only make some comments later when they are done or whatever other challenges that might arise from the committee. So we'll therefore allow the GCIS just to present on the issues. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Papel, Babuman, Kokela Data.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Before Babuman, you start. Honorable Steyn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just in terms of the statement you made that we can ask questions based on three documents, the strategic plan and the performance, we got the performance documents yesterday. Our agenda says it's going to be the strategic plans only. So we've only prepared the strategic plans. I'd therefore like to put on the record that we're not ready to put any questions based on past performance, and that perhaps at some point before our budget debates we're going to have another opportunity to both interrogate the past performance as well as the new budget. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Steyn. I don't know what you are talking about. But here we are dealing with a strategic plan which they are going to present and the budget. Because we are on the strategic plan and the budget processes and so on. We are not interrogating any past performance. That is done on the annual reports which come later in the year and so on. So probably it's two separate matters. The only difference is that you will have a strategic plan, then you will have the annual performance plan of the strategic plan where they go into details, quotas and so on, what will be achieved, because on the strategic plan sometimes it's high-flying executive and so on. So those are the two documents, but for the budget and the Honorable Shin.
Yep, thank you, Chair. We only got those documents late yesterday afternoon. So the only thing that we've really prepared on is the stuff that was emailed to us, because there hasn't been time to go through this and all of the documents for all three entities that have been for us today.
Thanks very much, because it went to the, actually has been by Parliament that issued out them yesterday. It's not the entities, Parliament, who issued the document yesterday. Honorable Mani, Kokelata.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Deputy Minister, and in absentia as well, Honorable Minister, but he had made a lot of input into this report as well, so we thank him together with the Deputy Minister for assisting us to put this plan together. Honorable Members, again, we want to also thank you as we greet you this morning for the strategic oversight that have been providing us in the past period. If you look, Chair, on the cover sheet of this of the strat plan, you will see a very nice picture there. And that picture is not a library picture. It's a real picture of the GCIS people. That's I think about 90% of the GCIS staff that are congregated in there.
The problem is that your picture is in a white ink. We can't see it.
No, no, on the cover sheet of the threat plan, of the this one here. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Now, and this computer is acting up now. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, as I was saying, these are the people, the men and women of GCIS, that really make it happen. And at some point in the presentation, Chair, I'll also introduce a bit more the management of GCIS. This is the outline of the presentation, Chair. We're going to start with the mandate and go through the corporate strategy objectives just to give a quick highlight of how the year that's just gone past, and talk to how we are aligned to the outcomes, and then we'll talk to the organogram of GCIS, and then the various DCOs, through your permission, Chair, I'll ask them to assist me in the presentation so they can talk to their actual areas, the various branches, as it were, and then we'll conclude. We'll also show you a picture of the new head office of GCIS and as to where we are. It's part of the strategy to say at some point we would have been in that building. So we'll give you some a view of what it's going to look like. our primary mandate, Chair, is really that we must provide strategic leadership in government communication. We must coordinate the government communication system that ensures that the public is informed about government policies, plans, and programs. And we are very honored to have the strategic leadership of the department by Minister Collins Chabane and Deputy Minister Albert Babela, who are very close to this business. So we are very happy about their input throughout. One of the entities that we have, or the only entity that we have, we used to have two. We used to have Brand SA, but due to the macro reorganization, we now have only the MDDA. As you know, the MDDA is there to ensure the media development and diversity so that we get the plurality that we are always looking for in the media space. But obviously, Lumko is here. He'll talk to his area at some point. But this is one entity. And we're very proud of MDDA, Chair. I must mention that in the last report, or in the last financial year, MDDA got a clean audit, one of the few government entities to get clean audit, not just unqualified audit, but clean audit. So we're very proud of this entity. The vision, mission, and values of GCIS, I'm not going to go through into detail, simply to talk just to the vision. We've recently recrafted the vision of GCIS to be the pulse of communication excellence in government. This is what we aim to be. When we look at the chairperson, when we look at the some of the criticism sometimes we saw in the past paper, that the ANC was saying there's more that GCIS can do in terms of popularizing government work. We agree with them 100%, Chairperson, and we are going to show here what is it that we plan to do to respond to that. In fact, as they said that, they said it at the back of our own assessment, where we could have said exactly the same thing, probably even much more harsher terms in terms of what we should be doing as GCIS to promote the good work that this government is doing, and so on. So we'll talk to that, Chairperson, but we just thought that criticism came very timely, and we really welcomed it, because it reinforces our own observations that there's more that we can do in terms of promoting the good work that this government is doing. This computer, Chair, almost like I'm being sabotaged here. Every time I press a button, it thinks twice before it does anything. So I hope, sorry? Yeah, well, okay. But anyway, here's a corporate strategy. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, Chair, simply to say the main focus will really be the five priorities of government, which we all know, which have got to do with the creation of a decent work, to ensure sustainable livelihoods. What is it that GCIS will be doing to make sure that these projects are promoted? Improvement of basic education, health, crime, and rural and land development. So GCIS will really make sure that these projects are communicated, and everybody knows what progress government is making in terms of these. Only one point I want to pick on the many bullet points on top here is the issue of media bulk buying to maximize the buying power. This is a very powerful concept that the cabinet has introduced. This will ensure not only economies of scale, but impact in communication. If we have a situation where various government departments are doing their little things everywhere, there will be no impact in that approach. So if you consolidate, we can have a much more impactful approach. But we'll talk to details about how we're doing that. And also the issue of new technologies, GCIS being who we are, we pride ourselves, as Chairperson, in terms of working with the new technologies, and we're continuously experimenting with these technologies. We are going into the social media now big time, and but we'll talk to that as we go through the actual programs, as it were. And then I move on to just what has been the situational analysis. What were the challenges? Because sometimes when we hear, instead of coming with glossy magazines, but there are some serious issues in the trenches. One issue of public perception on the performance of government. What is it that we'll be doing there? And as we say here, that indeed, you will see a lot more of us communicating that. We are on the issue of cluster client relations. What has been the problem? In the past, we'd had very, very unhappy client relations whereby clients felt that our clients are the internal government departments. They felt underserviced by GCIS, and the term used was, we don't feel GCIS, as it were. And now we have upped our game in terms of ensuring that we've got an improved stakeholder engagement. We've got cluster supervisors, people dedicated to make sure that they understand the various clusters in government, and they communicate very effectively the various work that the various clusters are doing. Indeed, one of our biggest challenges is limited fiscal resources. I mean, we had put a big proposal, in fact, for this financial year, and we have not been very lucky to be given the resources that we need. But again, we're not crybabies. We sat back as GCIS. We said, well, let's see what we can do in terms of reprioritizing and so on, just to make sure that we still do pretty much what we had set out to do. We also have to be the first ones to admit the issue of uneven skills in communication, and therefore, what is it that we're doing? This is just, not just GCIS, but across government, and we needed to make sure that if we are to communicate effectively as this government, we all need to be saying the same thing in the same way, with the same passion, as it were. And therefore, what we've done now, we've started a training program for the entire government, as it were. And we had to get Brent Simons here from Western Cape. He's now in Gauteng, putting up that whole training facility. This is going to train everyone. We're going to train politicians. We're going to train everyone to make sure that the issue of communication is properly placed. So that's what we're doing there. Office space constraints. One of the key issues in GCIS is because of the nature of the business, you get certain programs and certain departments that must be in the same place if we have to derive efficiencies and effectiveness. And the current office arrangements is really outdated for the modern approach that we have for what we need to be doing. But we'll talk to that as well, as to where are we with that office arrangements. And then lastly, on the issue of an inefficient media bulk buying, government had been doing this through an agency before, but it was not cost effective because whatever gains that you would have made with the media bulk buying, most of those gains would be eroded by the middlemen, so to speak. So what we've now done, we are doing this in-house, and we're very happy, Chairperson, to announce that we've also have recruited a serious industry expert in this matter, somebody very, very respected even in the private sector on this matter. He'll be joining us in April, so that we know that our firepower in terms of human resource to dispense with this important mandate, that it's well taken care of. If I look at the highlights of 2012, to say, okay, we know we're not discussing this now, we start plan, but there must always be a foundation. Here's the foundation, Chair. We think 2012 was a particularly good year for GCIS. We had our government communication strategy approved by Cabinet. Let's pause here, Chair, and just highlight that, you know, that Cabinet has got no less than 34 ministers. It's got people with serious different opinions, as it were. Individuals that are very thorough, individuals that take their work seriously, each and everyone had to be happy with that strategy. It was not an easy exercise, Chairperson. Very experienced people that sit in that cabinet to have a strategy approved. You know, other departments, they only have to convince their ministers, and that's it. GCIS has to convince cabinet. So this is fundamentally different, as it was. So for us to be able to come with a cabinet-approved strategy is no mean feat. We don't take that for granted. You would have seen, Chairperson, for the first time in the life of GCIS, when we did the SONA campaign, we had a very aggressive campaign. We had billboards of SONA. We had a whole communication infrastructure put together to popularize SONA. And in fact, as a result of this campaign, we seriously increased the viewership, listenership of SONA, which we think is actually what we need to be doing. So as a result of that, a lot more people got to know what the president had to say. We got their attention. So we're very happy with this campaign, and we'll continue to do that, Chairperson. Communication support for COP17. We are very happy that the GCIS was actually at the center of communicating and making sure that the whole South African team is well-wired and well-coordinated in communicating COP17. We're right there in Durban all those 14 days and so on. IPSA, this is the forum of editors that is associated with the BRICSA environment, where we begin to talk to the South-South agenda. So basically for us at GCIS, we have taken very seriously the involvement of government of South Africa in particular in the BRICS forum, as it were. So we said from a communication point of view, we must also be aligned. So we have already had a very successful conference, and people came from these countries to be with GCIS on this forum. So we think we're beginning to also globalize the work that GCIS is doing. Chairperson, we don't want to boast, but it's fact that this team has ensured that for the first time we've had the inaugural meeting of the Deputy President, the Leader of Government Business, with the Press Gallery Association, where there was very constructive interaction between the two, and all of this was made possible by GCIS. Again, Chairperson, in terms of ensuring that there is more communication out there, GCIS has come up with a new concept of non-cabinet week media briefings, so that we don't only communicate only after cabinet has set, but in between these other non-cabinet weeks, GCIS is always there to coordinate more communication, to bring out departments, to get departments to see what is it that are doing, particularly to respond to the issues in particular that the ANC is raising, that GCIS needs to communicate more about what government is doing. These non-cabinet weeks are the actual strategies and tactics that we're using at GCIS to say this government has got a lot to share, and let's make the opportunities available. So this is what GCIS is doing. We have not put everything yet, Chair. We can put a lot more. On the product side, we've got Vuk'uzenzele. We have increased the print run. It used to be a bi-monthly. It's now every month. We are launching next week the Public Sector Manager magazine, but it's been running for a while. Very, very closely, a beautiful magazine. I'm sure outside there will be copies of that magazine that talks to the public sector manager, as it were, a very good audience of government that we have. We also have another product called GovComs, which is another newsletter for government communicators, just to make sure that we are all communicating, we all talk to each other. So that's what we have. Chairperson, you will notice in the newspapers some of these very nice pictures of the president being abroad, and some of these nice pictures of government work. Most of that work is actually GCIS photography, which we give to the newspapers. And we're very proud of the photographic unit of GCIS. They take quality pictures. When we give them to the newspapers, they're always happy to use them.
as it were. We ask people to always look at the bottom right-hand corner of the these pics, and you'll always see GCIS there. So we're very happy that the work that we do, the quality that we do, is of a standard that private sector cannot live without. Partnering initiatives, pen and paper, integrated mobile units, these are some of the initiatives. With this integrated mobile unit, we put together the various services of government, whether it's home affairs, labor, whatever. We put everything in one caravan. We drive it to a township so that we make it easy for people to consume government work. I've spoken to the government communications training unit. So at a high level, Chairperson, we think we had a good run in 2011, and this threat plan for 2012, we are very hopeful that it will make sure that the achievements that we have here became the standard for 2012. I'm going to talk high level to the strategic objective of the GCIS. It's just five of them. And one of them is building people, products and processes, and a reliable knowledge base to ensure an effective government communication system. So what does that mean? It talks to the strategic leadership and support in government communication, media monitoring, research, surveys, and analysis. Another pause there, Chairperson. We've got a very elaborate system in GCIS of media monitoring. We've got the state-of-the-art equipment. We sit here and we know exactly who's saying what about government, about whoever. We do this both locally and international monitoring. We've got research. When government operates, it doesn't operate from a vacuum or from emotions. We give cabinet well-researched positions about what communities feel. We give cabinet well-researched positions about how the services are consumed, what are the issues that the public is concerned about. All of that is well-researched, and that's information that we provide. We develop content and create platforms to grow the voice of government. These Vuvuzelas, these e-GovComs, these PSMs, magazines, part of those contents that we create at GCIS to make sure that the information is shared. I've spoken to the government training and development. Here, we actually want to produce, Chairperson, a caliber of government communicators that is second to none, a caliber of government communicators that is going to reflect the true posture of this government, a government a communicator that really understands the nitty-gritties of their various programs, as it were. So that's the kind of government communicator we'll be producing here. Marketing and distribution strategy management, one of the key issues here is the issue of efficiencies, is the issue of making sure that our distribution strategy is in line with the requirements. One of the policies that we are adopting on the distribution strategy is a ward-based distribution strategy, just to make sure that the various wards across the country, they get our magazines. We're also looking at various other interesting things around this, Chairperson. On the marketing side, one of the key things that we'll be doing at GCIS is to do an audit of the corporate identity of government. We have made an observation, Chairperson, that there is a lot to be done in terms of ensuring that government adheres to corporate identity. This is not happening as it should. You go in the same department, you will find different use of colors. It's like 10 different organizations in one. So that is not helping to build the brand equity of government. So we want to make sure that using this department, we set proper guidelines. We've got a template. But we want to communicate it, want to assist departments to comply with this corporate identity. Second objective, a well-functioning communication system that proactively informs and engages publics, adherence to government communication standards, alignment of messages across spheres of government. On program three, Nibo is going to talk to what we do in terms of intergovernmental relations to make sure that we cascade information, to make sure that we don't operate in silos. We've got an infrastructure that Nico is going to talk to there. Empower citizenry on government policies, plans and programs, build and maintain stakeholder partnership, media liaising, cluster communicators, cluster communication advice and support to departments. So we make sure that because we're GCIS, we're at the center, departments are able to rely on us to be able to communicate the various cluster work without emphasizing one over the other. So that strategy is working very well. Strategic objective number four, an efficient and effective production and advertising agency for government. Media bulk buying, we've spoken to that. This is a very powerful tool, Chairperson, both economically and from a marketing point of view. And also, we actually think this media bulk buying is actually in the interest of newspapers themselves, as it were, because what this means is that instead of newspapers having to deal with 34 different government communicators, they now have to deal with one. So that actually helps in terms of efficiencies in the marketplace, as it were. Powerful concept. Cost-effective communication products and services for government, manage corporate identity, provide specific objective number four, provide a responsive, cost-effective, compliant, and business-focused corporate services. Here, this is a division that Pumla is going to talk to that ensures that we attract and retain a highly skilled human capital, and I'm going to talk to that at some point. Efficient and effective information infrastructure systems. You know, every time we do our cabinet briefings, we do it either in Pretoria or in Cape Town, but we have a video technology that links everything up. So really, I think even in 2011, we did well, and if we move to the new building, much more of this is going to be more expressed. Effective strategic management processes and procedures, professional internal audit services. We've got a very good internal audit that complements our external audit, and we take that very seriously. The audit, our internal auditor reports directly to the CEO, and he also has access to the minister. So we just want to make sure that he's not hindered with management work. He's just doing pure internal audit, and he can show various deficiencies that the organization will have. So we think structurally GCIS has been properly structured to be able to deliver transparently on its mandate. Proactive, responsive, compliant, and cost-effective finance, supply chain, and facilities management. I mean, even with the new building, we're one person that ensures that things are done properly the way they should, represents GCIS in the various discussions with contractors. So really, Chair, we really think that we have a well-wired system. We can always improve. GCIS has grown over the years, so we do need to beef up here and there, but by and large, we are not complaining. The last one, projecting, defending, and maintaining the image of government and that of the state. We think this is very, very important, Chairperson, that the whole reputation and credibility of the state hinges on the communication system. If we don't have a communication system that is proactive and projects and defends the state, you will have a state that is illegitimized by comments and commentary that is not informed. So how we aim to do this is to communicate the truth, as it were, and we always do, and set the record straight and make sure that there's a robust and proactive and efficient rapid response system. Every 8 o'clock in GCIS, we sit and we know who's saying what about this government, and we make a call whether we respond or we not respond on those things. Sometimes it's not worth responding. Sometimes it's worth responding. Sometimes it means you have to call the editor. There's different approaches that we take to respond, just to make sure that people don't have malice as they do what they do. Lastly, Chairperson, we'll be also popularizing the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission's work, and very soon on the billboards, you will see the various key players that that are going to be involved with this infrastructure coordination committee to let the public know what is it that this government plans to do around job creation. So it's not a secret that we have the president that is leading this good piece of work and the very capable ministers that are working with him on this thing. We want to make sure that the public of South Africa is kept abreast in terms of progress that is made with this commission that the president is leading. And just to move on, Chairperson, we have 12 outcomes in government. We just want to, I'm not spending a lot of time on this one, Chairperson, it's just one of those housekeeping issues, just to say that GCIS is part of outcome 12, which talks to an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, and empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. This is where we belong as GCIS. And the second part of this outcome is an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. So we think that we are well positioned, we are well fitted in this outcome. There are two outputs that we have. One is access to information. Two is citizen participation. So we think the work that we do is perfectly placed within this outcome. And the strategic goal of GCIS is coherent strategic leadership in government communication and coordination of government communication system that ensures the public is informed of government programs and policies. So we're just confirming, Chairperson, that the work that we do is aligned to the government outcomes, which are in turn aligned to the key priorities of government. So whatever we do fits in to the government's achievement of its priorities. Just at the high level, Chairperson, this is the structure of GCIS. And this at the top there, it's the deputy CEOs. We have three. The fourth one is an unfunded position, but it's what we plan to have within, in this period of 5 years, we will have a deputy CEO there to run largely, or if we go from left to right, a deputy CEO there that will be running the whole thing around communication service agency, which will have media bulk buying, which will have media production and everything to do with placements of ads and so on. It's a huge, I mean, if you look right now, it's hundreds of millions that that line is responsible for. The whole media bulk buying hinges on that side of the organogram. So therefore, we need to develop that side of organogram much more, as it were. I mean, potentially, as we've said before, that line will be responsible for R1 billion just on its own, as it was. So it's a line that the proper funding of that branch must really happen so that all of this can happen. And the various CEOs, the Chairperson, as I said, with your permission, will be the ones that will take us through what happens in each and every branch. The pink side there at the bottom are the chief directors of GCIS, which are sitting behind me here, and I just took liberty to take their pictures. This is who they are. This, Chairperson, this is the firepower of GCIS. These men and women you see here, including the three next to me here, together, all of us put together, we boast about 270 years of management experience. It's a very, 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 very capable team, diverse experience.
What experience are you talking about? How many years?
So
that is a bulk experience. We're talking about bulk.
Yeah. So Chairperson, what we're saying is that with the mandate that we have, well, and this just talks to from chief directors going up. 270-odd years of management experience, Chairperson, is something to be seriously proud of. So we're saying, as we go through the threat plan of this year, going forward the next 5 years, with this core team, we can't go wrong. If I can go through page by page as to who is here, you'll be outstanding. But I'm sure we don't have enough time for that. But I just thought, let me just flash the people that are really behind this at the leadership level.
Chairperson, I just want Mr. Manye to also acknowledge that the majority of them are women. So the firepower lies with the women.
You see? Very clearly so. There's no argument on that. Yeah, that's why GCIS is pumping like this. Yeah, so we're very happy with that. Even here, you can see the issue of women at the top team. This is a top team of GCIS. You can see 50-50 is the position. You know, further down, it's actually 70-30 as it were. So yeah, we respect women at GCIS. Now, Chairperson, Vusi is going to talk to Program 2. Who is Vusi? Vusi, Chairperson, is one of our very well-rounded communication practitioners, having presided over 2 national magazines, 2 newspapers, having been in a board of a private television broadcaster. He's been very involved in the private space, as it were. He's also a press fellow at Cambridge University. He boasts 16 years of management experience. So Vusi is going to talk to us about Program 2, communication content.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members.
Well marketed.
Thank you very much for that kind introduction by the CEO and that observation by the honorable chair. We are not going to talk to all the slides in the strategic plan. What we have done here is we've selected those indicators which are in the Treasury's ENE Red Book, but we have also taken the liberty to include other outputs that may not be in that Red Book, but which we consider to be of strategic importance. This slide speaks to the strategic objective that the CEO has already spoken to of building people, products, processes, and a reliable knowledge base to ensure an effective government communication system. The one sub-program that speaks to that strategic objective is the training sub-program, which is headed by Brent. Its objective is setting and influencing adherence to government communication standards. And the output we stated there is that of a professionalized and consistent government communication system. This is an observation that was made by the Comtask report, which preceded the establishment of GCIS. It was noted then in the late 90s, early 2000s, that we needed to professionalize the community of government communicators. And certain attempts were made in that respect, and that's why we have that baseline. GCIS, long before some of us came on board, had a partnership program with the University of Witwatersrand in collaboration with Unilever, where they offer the postgraduate certificate in communication and marketing. So we do have some good experience and baseline. It worked well, but its time expired. There were certain challenges. Government communicators came to a point where they felt they were no longer deriving any value from the program. As a performance indicator, we are saying we need to have an academic course that covers all aspects of government communication, and the operative word there is all aspects. Currently, our observation, Chairperson, honorable members, is that the kind of communicators that we have in the system may be good in, say, the technical aspects of communication. They may know how to put together a press statement or organize a press conference. But communication takes more than that. We need government communicators, as the CEO has said, who will also understand the policy posture, policy orientation of this government. It is our view that any government communicator should, at a basic level, be able to articulate any policy of this government, be it the national health insurance policy that we are talking about, be it the new growth path. We think it is very important for government communicators to not only understand the technical side of communication, but also the substantive issues. This year, in 2012-2013, we intend to hold as a target an academic symposium with at least 10 geographically representative academic institutions, and we'll do this with PALAMA, which is the institution within the public service that has the mandate to train public servants. And the intention is to secure a buy-in for a recognized credit-bearing qualification from these institutions. We are looking at these institutions to help us develop a curriculum that will speak to our needs as a government communicators. And we'll roll it out as the years go by. In the outer year, 2016-2017, we should have implemented that by then, and will merely be improving the curriculum. Still on the same strategic objective, and talking to another sub-program objective of providing strategic leadership and support in government communication through media monitoring, research, surveys, and analysis to understand the media environment and the pulse of the nation. There is a sub-program or chief directorate called Policy and Research that does that for us, headed by Tasnim. The output is an impact assessment of GCIS communication interventions. And I must pause here, Honorable Chair, and say this arises out of an input that was made last year by this committee. We came and boasted about the various products and platforms that we have within GCIS, and it was this committee that asked us, do you ever measure the impact of the things that you are doing? So as a new initiative, we will be conducting impact assessments of some of the interventions, the products, and the communication interventions that we have as GCIS. So we don't have a baseline there. Performance indicator, we are looking at conducting impact assessment of 60% of our communication products and services, and this we will then share with MANCO because they will then guide our strategic direction going forward. And this year we intend to do 4 impact assessment reports, and we'll do that throughout the 5-year period. Still on the same sub-program objective, we have an output. It's a program we are very excited about, and I will talk to how the Deputy Minister assisted us with this in terms of initiating this output. We are looking at 20 years of freedom and democracy in South Africa, doing a review of that. We are a few years or months away from 2014, so this is a new initiative. There is no basic baseline, but if you look at the 10-year review that we did as a government, you could argue there is a baseline of a 10-year period, but certainly not of a 20-year period. This will be the first time we celebrate 20 years of freedom and democracy as a country. The performance indicator, it's a project plan on the 20-year review. For 2012-13, we intend to develop a project plan for the 20-year review, and we'll consult the public, various departments on how we are going to, at least from a communications point of view, celebrate 20 years of democracy. We already have some ideas as GCIS, but we are going to test that with the various stakeholders within government and certainly with our political principals. One, just to give you an insight, one of the things we intend to do come 20 years is to capture in book format the various strides that we've made as a country, be it in education, be it in health, be it in whatever area of government. As a government, we think that we can do better in capturing and preserving our track record for posterity. We visited a number of countries to benchmark and study how they do these things. And Chairperson, we were very excited when we went to India towards the end of last year and went to China, led by...
The only problem is they didn't bring us along.
Well, the DM we are proposing will undertake with the CEO another trip, and I think we'll invite the committee. But we're very excited to see that, for an example, in India, Independence, their equivalent of PCIS, has published more than 8,000 titles, be it on heritage, on history, on Gandhi, and that translates to about 121 titles per annum. And we think that as a government, we're actually surprised to find that they have books on our own icon, Nelson Mandela, and they asked us the question, who takes care of your former president? And when we said it's a foundation outside government, they were very surprised. So these are the things that we intend to do going forward. Another output that is done by policy and research is the synthesis of departmental achievements and plans for the State of the Nation address. The baseline there is one synthesis report. Just to give a bit of background as to what happens in this space, months before the State of the Nation takes place, I think around October or so, it is GCIS that contacts the various departments to give us reports of past challenges, achievements, reporting against things that would have been articulated in the previous State of the Nation address. We synthesize this into one report and we send it to the presidency so that it informs. It's one of the things that informs the next State of the Nation address. The performance indicator there is obviously the annual synthesis of departmental achievements and plans for the SONA. So though we don't get a publicly acknowledged Deputy Minister, we are proud to say that we play a very critical role in how the State of the Nation address ultimately looks like. The targets for all the years would be a consolidated government achievements and plans report every year before the SONA. Another output is the assessment of the media environment. CEO has also touched on that. The baseline is currently we meet with government communicators on a fortnightly basis where we look at the media environment, what stories have been there, how we need to respond, how we need to scale up our communication. But you'd agree meeting fortnightly would not be enough, because by the time you come to a story after 2 weeks, it might be dead in the media environment. So we also do daily rapid response units, as CEO has said, every 8 o'clock, every day. We get a sense of what is in the media environment about government, what are the responses, if any, that we need to make. That's the baseline. And then we also do, as another baseline, monthly cluster communication environment reports. We've got 7 clusters as a government, and we have 2 colleagues at the chief director level who have been given the task of servicing the 7 different clusters. And one of the things that they do on a monthly basis, they give a communication environment report to these clusters. We also do weekend analysis reports, Saturday, Sunday press, media, what it is saying about government. Performance indicators in terms of the synthesis report, SONA, it's an annual synthesis of the departmental achievements. In terms of the media environment, the indicator is basically the number of media environment reports that we produce, be it fortnightly, be it daily, be it monthly, be it weekend. Those figures under targets, they basically just reflect the number of times we churn out these reports. Another output, talking to the policy and media environment sub-program, it's the national and international monitoring of media. We have a baseline. Currently, we put together press clippings, broadcast and online media coverage reports. The performance indicator, again, is the number of media coverage reports. For 2012-2013, we'll be issuing 324 sets of press clippings. That remains consistent throughout the five-year period. We also issue 720 media coverage reports. That remains constant throughout the 5 years. One very innovative thing that we have done in this space, if you look at that baseline, and it remains constant throughout, is a system of alerts of breaking news. So every morning, people who are on a database, and it would be ministers, it would be DGs, they get through bulk SMS, what we call a media alert from GCIS. And even as the day goes by, if at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, something happens in the media and communication environment, we pick it up and we put it in our media alert system so that we are on top of our game. In fact, the CEO was saying ministers really appreciated the service. Recently, when they were in the bush, locked down on issues of the Lekgotla, you know, they don't get newspapers, their phones are locked in some cabinet. When it was break time, they would go look at their phones and they get to understand what is happening. Though they were in the bush, they were kept in touch with what is happening in the outside world. And it was at that time that the ministers expressed appreciation to him for this service. Another output in this area is the development of key messages and communication content, fundamental to any communication effort. Is the development of key messages. So if as a government we are piloting the national health insurance, for an example, we would need, as GCIS, to give, working together with the health department, craft the key messages. What is it that we want to communicate around the national health insurance? That's the output. In terms of the baseline, on a monthly basis, we develop a number of key messages. And this could relate not just to policy, but even our national days. We've got Human Rights Day coming on the 21st of March. What are the key messages that we want to communicate as a government? This sub-program is charged or tasked with developing such key messages. The performance indicator is, of course, the number of key messages that we develop for this year. And that remains constant for the next 5 years. We would develop 48 sets of key messages. We've got four colleagues who are working in that space, and each is expected to develop a set of key messages at least once a month, and that gives us then 48 for the year. Still talking to the strategic objective of building people, products, processes, and a reliable knowledge base, there is a sub-program there whose objective is to develop content and create platforms to grow the voice of government, and that is a sub-program or chief directorate called Content in Writing, which is headed by Tyrone Seal. One of the outputs that they have is the production of the South African Yearbook and the Pocket Guide, a very informative book that we produce as SGCIS. It basically gives you an overview of what South Africa looks like, be it in business, in the economy, in the health, provinces, nationally, our judicial system. You read that, you get a clear picture of what South Africa is all about. The baseline, the thick yearbook, we produce 40,000 copies, but we have got a smaller version of the yearbook, which is proving very popular, especially with students. We produce 4,000 of, we produce 20,000 of these.
Babumon, I've realized the CEO was flashing pictures. I don't see you flashing the yearbook picture.
I'm a wordsmith. Betraying my true colors. But we do have copies outside for members. We've brought a number of copies of the yearbook outside for sampling. We produce 20,000 copies of the small pocket guide and 4,000 DVDs. we are, and you've got 50 million South Africans, we are conscious of the fact that this is a drop in the ocean, and we're exploring through e-books and other avenues to migrate this to other platforms. The performance indicators, obviously, the number, and it is going to stay at 40,000 unless we get more funding, 4,000, 25,000. But as I've said, going forward, we look at supplementing this product suite with additional dissemination platforms based on user trends, and we are investigating the e-book space in particular. Still on this sub-program of developing content and creating platforms to grow the voice of government, we think, Chairperson, Honourable Members, we shouldn't be shy as a government to develop our own content and create our own platforms in order to communicate with citizens. In fact, contrary to what certain people will think is the media's position about this area, because there's this perception that we're contesting this with the media, in an engagement that GCIS had with the SANEF last year, in fact, it's not even our engagement. We do this annually for cabinet, and SANEF, the deputy president, leads a cabinet delegation, and they discuss what their areas of differences and how we can work together. One of the prominent editors, when we are complaining that we think their take-up of government stories is not as great as we would like it to be, actually turned around, Honorable Chairperson, and said, well, you know, it's not their business, really, to communicate with every citizen in South Africa. They are running businesses, and they identify markets that they want to talk to, and those markets must make money for them. And they were saying to us, if you want to communicate with the whole of South Africa, it is your business. Come up with your own products that are going to communicate. And we appreciated that kind of honesty, that finally they are saying, look, it's not our business to talk to everybody. We'll talk to markets that are going to make sense to our bottom line. If you want to talk to what they would call poor markets, government will need to do that. So we are saying, as GCIS, we shouldn't be shy to develop content and create platforms and products so that we can grow the voice of government. The output there is communication products in support of the National Orders campaign. National Orders campaign, Honorable Chairperson, is the highest awards that this country or any country can give to its citizens or its international friends. And we think that as GCIS, we need to scale up the communication of these awards. There's so many awards in the country, some of which pale into insignificance. These awards, which are the highest in the country, highest form of recognition in the country. The baseline is that currently we are producing the booklet and video and photographic coverage of the event. And in the past, it used to be a midweek event somewhere at the Union Building or Mahlambandlovu, few guests. It was not happening at the national level. We actually acknowledge and thank the president for giving direction in this regard, because 2 years ago, these awards started taking place on the 27th of April, which is Freedom Day, and they started being broadcast live in the evening when citizens are at home and can watch these awards. The performance indicator is the production of print and or electronic products to create awareness of the national orders. And as I've alluded, this year we want to scale up the production of annual print products for mass consumption. So we'll be using not just our own platforms as government, we'll be using commercial media as well. So that if we say we are honoring a professor in physics, our children in this country can see these people as role models that need to be emulated. Still on this sub-program of creating, of developing content and creating platforms and products, we have got an output there of a newspaper focused on government's five priorities. The current baseline is 1.7 million copies of Vukuzenzele newspaper produced monthly. As the CEO indicated, in the past, this newspaper used to be a magazine coming out once every 2 months, with the same budget, Honorable Chairperson and members, with the same budget, we are now able to produce 1.7 million copies on a monthly basis. and the magazine, we're producing 1.6 million copies every second month. Same budget of 40 million because we have changed the newsprint. We've changed it from glossy to newsprint. We are achieving economies of scale and greater impact. We are also producing 420 braille copies of Vuvuzenzele per month, and we are producing 12 versions of the monthly website version. The performance indicator is obviously the number of newspapers we publish per annum. For 2012-2013, we will produce 20.4 million copies, and that makes us a very serious player. And as I said, in the media space, and as I said earlier, in the past, this was seemingly contested, but we are happy that in discussions that we had with SANEF, they actually say, that's your role to play. We are saying that by 2016-2017, we should be producing about 40 million copies, and that means basically doubling up that that number. We are hoping that next year, Chairperson, will be able to convince Treasury to give us more allocation so that we don't come out monthly, but at least on a fortnightly basis. Because coming out monthly, we at times caught flat-footed, and you can't really compete in that space coming out once per month. We think that if we come out fortnightly, at least we can then be taken as serious players in that space. Still on the development of content and creation of platforms to grow the voice of government, one of the outputs we have is the Public Sector Manager magazine. This arose, Chairperson, out of an exercise that we did as GCIS of the different target audiences that we talked to. In the past, we never really saw civil servants as a target audience, and we have 1.3 million civil servants in South Africa, serious target audience that can act if properly empowered with information as ambassadors of this government. Within that context, we have as a government 10,000 senior managers across national and provincial. And we are saying that's a very serious target audience for government. All the things that the president promises in the State of the Nation address, all the things that Minister of Finance promises are going to be done in this country, they depend very much on an efficient public service. They will depend very much on those 10,000 senior managers. And we are saying we need to create a platform through which we can share best practices. We know from an example that Home Affairs was turned around with the coming in of a new DG and a new minister. But where are the platforms to share those kinds of practices? So we've created this platform. We produce 10,000 copies per month, and that translates to 120,000 copies per annum as our baseline, and that will remain this year. We are hoping that by 2016-2017 we would have reached a target of 480,000 copies. One other invention or innovation with the Public Sector Manager, Chairperson, is that we did not go to Treasury and ask for money. We called Treasury, made a presentation, and said to Treasury, we think this can fund itself. Because those 10,000 senior managers are a serious audience, consumer audience. Our research indicated then that collectively they were earning about 6.5 billion per annum. Now that's serious earning power. Anybody who's selling anything to consumers will want to talk to that audience. These 10,000 men and women preside over a procurement budget of about 60 billion. They buy computers. They buy every sort of good and service for government. So anybody who's selling whatever good, whatever service to government needs to talk to that audience. And the magazine is therefore a perfect platform for such marketers and sellers to use in order to reach that target audience. But then they've got to pay a premium for that. And whatever then they pay us actually takes care of the production. CO has also spoken about the GovComs a newsletter, which is a supplement to the magazine. As a baseline, we produce 40,000 copies. That's 10,000 per quarter. It's a platform through which the community of government communicators, in particular, can share best practice, can get to understand what is happening in the media industry, what is happening in radio, what is happening in advertising, another interesting innovation. Moving away from that sub-program, we look at the sub-program that talks to the provision of effective and efficient marketing and distribution services for government. It is a new sub-program that emanates out of the restructuring of the media bulk buying function of GCIS. They're basically responsible for marketing and distribution. The output they have there is marketing services for government, not baseline, because it's a new chief directorate. Performance indicator will be the number of successful marketing services that they provide to various departments. For 2012, 2013, we are looking at 20 marketing services, and these would relate to things like national days, for an example, human rights day, 60 days of activism. How do we market these days to South Africans? In the outer year, we are looking at having scaled that up to 25 marketing services. Another output in that space is the distribution of GCIS-produced products as a baseline. Distribution has been there, but it was located within another chief directorate. As a baseline, they had five key distribution projects annually. Performance indicator will be the number of distribution projects executed, and now you will see that the targets for 2012-13 is 28 distribution projects. The outer year is 45 distribution projects. That is in line with our vision of expanding our product suite, because as you develop new products, new magazines, you need to come up with distribution strategies and executions for those products. That sub-program also is responsible for the management of government's corporate identity, which the CEO has touched on. The output is the establishment and continuous improvement of a functional corporate identity. You walk into any bank in South Africa, you will not be mistaken as to in which bank you are. If there's red around you, you will know you are at Absa. If there's green around you, you will know you are at Nedbank. And CEO, as he has indicated, if you walk into any department, you really wonder where exactly you are. It's a new initiative, so there is no baseline. Performance indicator is the implementation of a functional corporate identity management and control system based on findings of an audit. We will be conducting a corporate identity audit across all departments, because we've got guidelines at GCIS to see how they adhere to the corporate identity guidelines. Still within that space, they've got an output of a well-informed internal and external stakeholders in the application of corporate identity. And internal stakeholders would be government departments. External stakeholders would, for example, be our entities, our provinces, local municipalities. Sometimes there are opportunities where we need to co-brand as national, working together with an entity like Eskom. What are the guidelines in events like those? Whose logo is prominent and so on? We will be running workshops for internal and external stakeholders in this regard. In 2012-13, we are looking at four workshops structured to communicate corporate identity, and we'll bring in departments and external stakeholders. Still on managing corporate identity for government, we have an output of effectively monitoring and controlling and controlling with respect to the application of corporate identity guidelines developed by government. It's a new initiative. What we intend to do here, Chairperson, is to do a quality control of at least 80 products. That's the target for 2012-13, products and services executed by GCIS on behalf of departments. So if a department comes to us and says they want to place an advert and they come with ready-made material, it is our duty as GCIS to ensure quality control in terms of corporate identity, make sure that the logo is placed where it is supposed to be placed, the colors are right, and so on and so forth. The last output there is senior managers who are well informed about the government policy, a point I touched on earlier. Parallel to Public Sector Manager magazine, we've got a we've started forums that we run on a monthly basis where we invite our political principals to come and unpack whatever new policy positions we have, interventions that we may be making as government. So far, as a baseline, we've run three public sector manager forums. The first one was with Minister Aaron Motsoaledi on the NHI. You know, it was a very informative public sector manager forum where you get civil servants who may not necessarily be in health, who will then have an opportunity to interact with the minister and find out the rationale behind the policy and how exactly it is going to pan out. The intention is to have a well-informed cadre or core of senior managers in government. As a target for 2012-13, going forward, we would organize 11 of these forums. That is one per month. That takes us, Honorable Chairperson, to the next presenter.
That's a bit of fresh air. There is a picture at last.
And a very beautiful picture, for that matter.
Indeed.
Honorable Chairperson. The next presenter is going to be Nebo Lekwabe, who is the Deputy CEO in charge of government and stakeholder engagement. If I were to borrow from the CEO's leaf, though I don't think I will match him and introduce Nebo. Nebo has 17 years experience in public service, and that combines her experience as an MMS and as an SMS. She's got a master's in library and information science, and her honors on her way to the master's was obtained cum laude. And she has an international certificate in grassroots communication and community development through information, something very key for this government because not everybody consumes commercial media. This grassroots communication involves triple P's, public participation programs for our political principals, and that falls squarely under Nebo. This qualification, I'm sure, comes in handy. She's also attended the senior management program, and she styles herself as a person who knows how to massage people's egos, she tells me.
Thank you, Busi. thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. I'm responsible for the program Government and Stakeholder Engagement. Our staff complement is actually about 40% of the whole staff in the GCIS. Those are people based in the provinces, districts, as well as the municipalities. I've got four chief directors, Nikelwa and Penelope, who are responsible for the clusters. I've got Neo, who is responsible for media engagement, and I've got Michael, who is responsible for the provincial and local liaison. And Honorable Killian, three of those are women. Yeah. We are responsible for... Thanks, ma'am. We are responsible. Our purpose is to is the implementation of development communication through mediated and unmediated communication and sound stakeholder relations and partnership. Our strategic objective is to maintain and strengthen a well-functioning communication system that proactively informs and engages the public. We've got several number of outputs, but the first one that I'm going to talk about is the use of national, provincial, and district communications forums as platforms for better planning and coordination. The baseline for at the moment is the misalignment of government content across the three spheres of government. And our performance indicator is reports on the presentations on government content at national, provincial, and district communications forum. What we plan to do in this coming financial year, Chairperson, is to cascade government content to national, provincial, and district forums. The CEO indicated in his presentation that we are proud that the national communication strategy has been approved by Cabinet. What we are doing in this branch, we ensure that we share the national communication strategy at national, provincial, and local level so that there is an understanding and an appreciation of what the communication strategy is about, and we also ensure that we coordinate messages across the three spheres of government. One of our other outputs is cluster communication strategies so that they are aligned to the government communication strategy. The baseline is that there is a misalignment of cluster communication strategies to the GCS as it stands. So we make sure that we share the government communication strategy, and clusters will then develop their own communication strategies based on the national communication strategy. Just to remind the meeting that the core here is actually focusing on the key priorities of government. What we'll do, we'll develop cluster communication strategy, but over and above that, we then will develop as GCIS what we call the government communications program. Those are the nodal issues for communications that we will support the clusters and will make sure that we maximize cluster work, especially on issues that are critical for communication. Next slide, please. The still on the same objectives, one of the outputs is public have access to government information through different platforms. Our baseline here, Chairperson, is that we have 2970 number of development communications projects aligned to the government communications program through various platforms, such as community media seminars. But the performance indicator is number of communications campaigns through various platforms, such as the media again. And our target for this financial year moving forward is going to be 2460 communications campaigns. And I'm sure members are asking themselves why a decline in numbers. Just to indicate that over the years, we used to have district communication officers, district and municipality communication officers at local level. But and largely because most municipalities did not have communication officers at the municipality level. But now municipalities are increasing and beginning to hire their own communication officers. So what as GCIS now, we are going to start focusing on providing communication officers at the district level. So we want to maximize communications at the district level, but we will be working closely with the municipalities, but also will continue to work with the ward committees as well as the community development workers. What our target is to have these communications campaigns at local level. Just as an example, Chairperson, is the public participation program. One of the things that we have been doing, and this year it's one of the things that we'll be doing, we have started, Michael Curran is not here actually, he is at Amajuba in Altrecht in KwaZulu-Natal. One of the things that we are doing, we are cascading the SONA, State of the Nation address, and unpacking it at the local level. Minister of Rural Development is in Amajuba as we speak now, sharing with the local stakeholders and unpacking the State of the Nation address at the local level, also indicating and explaining to the people what it means for the people of Amajuba. What does the State of the Nation address mean to them at the local level? The other output, another baseline in this output is the Tucson Service Center communication strategy, and our performance indicator is number of reports on marketing events per Tucson Service Centers, and our target is 680 reports on the implementation of the annual marketing and communications plan for the Tucson. Chairperson, every year, I mean every quarter when we have been coming here, we've been having challenges with the Tucson Service Centers in terms of the the targets. And we realized as GCIS, we were actually chasing something that we don't have control over. Every time we're talking about how many buildings, and yet we don't have the money and we don't have the resources and we even the capability to actually build the Tsuong Service Centers. But our responsibility and our capabilities is around communicating on what is happening at the Tsuong Service Centers. So what we'll be doing moving forward, we are going to scale up communications at the Tsuong Service Centers, and we're going to make sure that we popularize what is happening, but also we inform members of the communities when our service is coming, what are the challenges, but also make sure that there are major events that are happening at the Tsuong Service Centers. Because remember, Tsuong Service Centers is not only about government services, it's also about government information, and for us, information is a service. The other sub-program objective here is the empowered citizenry on the government policies, plans, programs, and achievements. Our output here is that to have that public have access to government information through different platforms. Our baseline is 3,600 community and stakeholder liaison visits through distribution, environmental assessments, communication strategizing, the Tsuong Forum meetings, as well as the newsletters. Our performance indicator is number of community and stakeholder liaison visits through distribution, environmental assessment reports, communications strategies, and Tsuongs. And again, our target 3.2. community and stakeholder liaison visits. Again, the example given earlier to say that we have dwindling number of communication officers at local level. But what happens here, Chairperson, is that our communication officers, as they do their ward liaison, the VUSI mentioned ward liaison earlier on, and even the CEO mentioned about the ward liaison. As they do the ward liaison, they will uncover some of the challenges that people are experiencing at the local level, and they will work with the community development workers, but the local municipalities around some of the issues, and they will actually come up with a communications plan to address some of those issues. Another output is that public have access to government information through different platforms. Our baseline is 700 publications distributed, and it's publications from the GCIS, the product suite that Vusi was talking about, but also publications from different government departments. You know, we have your Know Your Service Rights booklets on HIV and AIDS, booklets on immunizations, all those different booklets from the different departments. What we do is we actually distribute them as we have the campaigns and events at the local level. Our target moving forward, Chairperson, is that we want to make sure that we distribute more than 1 million different products at the at our campaigns at the local level. Next slide. The next sub-program informed stakeholders that extend the reach of government communication efforts. Our output here is to develop and entrain a strong partnership with key stakeholders. At the moment, we have uncoordinated stakeholder management strategy, and our indicator is the number of stakeholder engagement aligned to the key priorities. And our target is 10 stakeholder engagement. What is happening on this particular one, Chairperson, is that at local and district level, most of our communicators and our district officers engage with stakeholders at the local level. But what we want to do now is to ensure that we engage stakeholders that have got national presence. As an example, what we did the last week, we engaged with the International Women's Forum of South Africa around the budget vote. What we want to do now is to also link with the major civil organization societies like New Women's Movement at the national level, so that once we have agreed with them what are the key issues that we want to do, we'll work with them and start engaging the regional or district forum, so that the work of government has got maximum impact. So we want to make sure that we scale up the impact of our work by working with these major NGOs. And we set 10 because largely we want to focus on at least two for each of the national key priority areas. The sub-program objective here is to set and influence the media agenda through a robust, proactive, and efficient rapid response system. The key director here is Neo Mumudu, and it's about issues of the media. Our output is to effectively communicate cabinet decisions. The baseline is 16 media briefings on cabinet decisions when cabinet is in session. Our indicator is number of media briefings and statements issued to reach grassroots communications in particular. And our target chairperson is 50 media briefings and statements. This is during the cabinet week, but also media briefings when there is special cabinet, but also if we do have media briefings to further elaborate on what has been pronounced in cabinet. Just to give an example, yesterday during the cabinet briefing, the CEO mentioned the issue of South Africa-Nigeria diplomatic role over deportations. But over and above that, at 12 o'clock, there was a further media briefing by DERCO as well as Department of Home Affairs to address this thing further. Those are the things that we are talking about. The media briefing will take place, but there will be further pronouncement by other ministers on the issues to further elaborate on what is happening. The other output is effectively manage communication implications arising from media reports, that is the rapid response. The indicator is the number of rapid response facilitated reports, and we're talking about 264 communication reports per annum. And here again, Chairperson, there is a direct link between the work of the rapid response and the work of the cabinet. I think I like the story of the South African and Nigerian diplomatic role over the deputation, because that is one story that was actually picked up by the rapid response on Monday. And as such, there was follow-through and we were able to communicate further. But another issue about rapid response, if you remember the UJ stampede story in January, that story was picked up by the rapid response team, and they were able to alert the Department of Higher Education, and they recommended that there should be a press briefing to actually quell the negative perceptions. And that intervention was actually done. So it's quite important what the team is actually doing. Another output is regular media engagements facilitated, e.g. media briefings, statements, opinion pieces, letters to the editor. The baseline is 140 media engagements per year, and now the target is 100 media engagements per year, because we actually realized the baseline of 140 was unrealistic, so we had to look at what is it that is possible that we can do. But here it's also issues of the cluster media briefings, coordinated departmental briefings, because that's what we are doing. The next slide, see. Oh, that's over from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Nebo. I'm back, Chairperson, talking to Program 4, Communications
not interested at all.
Well, there's a vacancy there, so there would be no picture. Just to give background to communication service agents and probably why I am doing this presentation, CSA in Treasury language has always been a program. But because it was not properly funded, we had it as a chief directorate. And it was headed by Togo Modise, who is now responsible for the sub-program marketing and distribution. As the CEO said, we are looking at and continuously doing so, recruiting industry specialists from the media buying space who are going to work under this program. And just to acknowledge also that it was actually Togo Modise, long before some of us arrived and got crucified about trying to centralize media buying because we've got alleged sinister motives. It was Togo Modise who planted the seed of in-housing media buying. It has always been centralized but outsourced. And she planted the seed for GCIS to look at possibly in-housing it so that we cut the middleman and whatever discounts that we realize as government can be planted back into the communication campaigns. So well done there, Tom. This program, in terms of purpose, provides media bulk buying services and media production for the entire national government. The strategic objective is an efficient and effective production, media bulk buying and advertising agency for government. So what we are really doing under this program is setting up a media buying agency for government. The sub-program objective is the provision of cost-effective media bulk buying services for government. The output, first one, is media buying services provided for various government departments. As a baseline, CSA had last year provided these services for 140 campaigns. The performance indicator is obviously the number of buying of media buying campaigns. This year, their objective, their target is going to be 150 media buying campaigns, and then scale it up to 160 media buying campaigns. And this also arises out of a cabinet decision last year that all departments will need to buy their media via GCIS so that we can realize discounts, and those discounts can be, as I said, sold back into our campaigns. Another output is video archives being available digitally. So that unit is not only responsible for media buying, but they're also responsible for media production. The adverts that you see, the billboards that you see by government, they're done by CSA. As a baseline, they've already digitized 3,000 hours of footage. As government, we sit with more than 10,000 hours of footage, but it's all analog and therefore locked in terms of where the future is going. We need to liberate that content through digitization. Performance indicator is the number of hours of digitized footage. Going forward, there will be digitizing 3,000 hours of footage every month. There are advantages of doing this because analog, as I said, is locked and not many people can access it. But immediately you go digital, anybody sitting anywhere in the world can actually access that that information. So we're trying to liberate, as it were, the footage that we have. Another output is an ability to broadcast via satellite. We've got no baseline. We've never done this before. As a performance indicator, we want to build that ability to broadcast via satellite. This year, we are looking at full implementation of satellite broadcasting, and when we move to our new premises next year with new technology, we are going to do that on a full scale. That will enable political principals, cabinet spokespersons, also to talk directly to media houses, to talk directly to whoever would have subscribed to our service. It may be via mobile television. And we know that ICASA is about to issue a license in that space. And we are looking at that with a very keen eye as government, because it will enable us to talk directly to consumers, and would require satellite capability. Another output is product development services provided for government. As a baseline, they've done in the past year 991 products and services. The performance indicator is number of products developed. These are electronic media products. So it will be videos, it will be radio. In the current financial year, the target is 2,000 products, and then in the outer year, they will take it to 2,100. That's Communication Service Agency. I will now hand over to Pumla, who will take us through her program, the finances. Pumla Honorable Chairperson, has got 17 years in the public service, 13 years of that as a senior manager. She holds a master's in public administration and a certificate in finance. Very passionate on issues of governance issues in the public service. In fact, I jokingly tease her that the only word she learned at school is the word can't. Because if you go to Pune and say, I need money for this, she says, it can't be done. But over to you, Punda. Very passionate about governance issues.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure about the last one. It's actually not my money. But thank you, Chairperson. I want to start briefly by just indicating the program one, corporate services. I think corporate services is a support program. It is a program that ensures what Nebu and Vusi had indicating to the members, it does happen. It ensures that the human capital that they want is there. They ensure that the money they want is there. They ensure that the procurement that needs to happen, it does happen. But importantly, Chairperson, I think they ensure that the corporate governance issues are adhered to, because at the end of the day, it is taxpayers' money that you fully support and ensure that we get in order to provide the service delivery. The units that are reporting under corporate services is the Strategic Planning and Monitoring Unit. That's the unit that ensures that the two documents that we are presenting today do actually happen. This is the unit that ensures the four performance quarterly update reports that we forward to yourselves. It does happen. It is a unit that also ensures that we implement our human resource management for the organization. You will note in the documentation that we are indicating that our human resource development strategy is on its last year. So later in the year of 2012, we will actually be reviewing it. But we're quite happy with some of the activities, the interventions that we had put in place to make sure that GCIS becomes an employer of choice. I think we do want, we're quite passionate with what we do, that we do want to remove the notion that if you work for public service, it's actually an employer that just takes all the poorly qualified people. I think through the human resources, we make sure that we make people who have the right qualification to be attracted to the public service. We also have the information technology chairperson. This is a very important subunit because communication in this day and age can only be relevant if the technology is tuned up, because the information that they deal with has to make sure that the technology is able to provide the information timeously. The other important unit, chairperson, is the finance and procurement, which I will actually move over when I talk to the figures. We ensure that there is full compliance. You will note in the last 5 years, we've never actually, in fact, I've even forgotten who's the chairperson of the SCOPA, because we have consistently ensured that we are fully compliant with the financial regulations of the Public Finance Management Act. Chairperson, the last issue that I wanted to emphasize in the finance and the procurement is that I think the requirements of the public services that companies need to be paid within 30 days. I think Treasury has started enforcing this, but we're happy to say for the last 4 years, GCIS has actually been monitoring the turnaround time of our procurement in terms of the orders, how long it takes us, in terms of the procurement of the payment of invoices. We've been tracking it down. We were able to pull out our statistics for as far back as 4 years. We know exactly what our challenges are in terms of the payment. To this coming year, we're looking forward to doing another audit of customer service. In 2009, we actually sampled how companies view GCIS, and we are now due for another round of reviewing what the customers or companies from outside think of GCIS in terms of procurement. So we are doing that, and hopefully later in the year we will be providing the members with a response, because it is independently done with the assistant of our research unit to determine how satisfied our customers are. Lastly, I think I want to talk to the figures, Chairperson.
Just before Chair, she talks to the figures, I just check with the Chair. You know, GCIS were very meticulous about time. It's now 11 o'clock. In terms of the schedule, it's too break if the chair wants to make a call about that.
Thank you to remind me. Finish.
Thank you, Chairperson. And the first slide, Chairperson, is the global picture, a picture of the figures of GCIS over the next MTEF period. You will note that in year one, we were only able to get 17.8 additional increase. We had made a request to National Treasury for a top-up in our baseline of about 28.7%. We were only given 17.8%, and if I could just unpack that, 17.8% is mainly around the building and also the salary adjustment. So effectively, Chairperson, as the CEO had indicated, the request that we made in order to upscale the work that we do has not actually been, we have not been given, including I think the MDDA also made a request. I think all those amounts have not been given, but having said that, I think the work in GCIS happened. So that's the global. The next slide, Chairperson, will be just unpacking. That is the figure of Program 1. I think the figures that I just want to indicate, Chairperson, the 2.6 of the internal communication, before you think that all of it goes to internal communication, it's the money that actually passes through us to Telkom Information Directory, where we actually pay for placing the contact details of the information, GCIS information points. The 13.3 million Chairperson in IT is mainly the servicing of CETA through our all 41 offices. I think I should indicate that I think people tend to think that the offices of GCIS are only head office. We've got about 41 offices countrywide, 9 provincial offices and 31 satellite offices. And the IT actually services and make sure that we have a link with all our offices. The 36.8 Chairperson of office accommodation also covers the rental of all our 41 offices. And the 55 in the supplier chain is the additional 50 million that we were given for the upgrade of the head office of GCIS, which I will highlight when I talk to the update on the office space. Next, Chairperson. Program 2 is actually the 109, Chairperson, the one big amount that I would like to, or two amounts that I would like to highlight. On the research course, it's the tracker that we actually track the image of government through independent tracking research, which Vusi talked about. And the 47.9 million is actually the production of our Vuk'uzenzele, which Vusi had made mention of. Thanks. Program 3, Chairperson, I think this is the this is the program that takes about 33% of our personnel budget, because they have a lot of our foot soldiers on the ground in throughout the country. That's you see the 64.7 personnel budget. The one issue that I would also mention is the 19.5, which in the main is for our foot soldiers in the districts and in the provinces. It's personnel and it's the work that they do on a regular basis. You will note the budget of the MDDA, the 20 million, which I think Kulumko will talk to it. I think that's the last. It's the program that we are saying that we are quite excited with this program, because it is an initiative that we really want to ensure that it does happen. As Uvusi had indicated, that we have previously been outsourcing. This is going to be an in-house, and I think this is, you can see, it's the one that has the least budget, yet it is the one that generates a hell of a lot of work from the our clients, the departments. Thanks. Chairperson, the last bit is actually the office space, which we're looking forward to it. I think if you recall last year, we did indicate in our expenditure that we are looking at getting alternative accommodation to the current head office. The current head office, Chairperson, we've had it since 1998 with a capacity at the time of about 200 people. Now we've grown to over 400, and I think the size has become a challenge. So we then went out on tender to procure The only additional thing that I would like to indicate, Chair, that is different from the previous reports that we have indicated, is our occupation date. I think at the time when we reported was that we are expected to occupy the premises by April 2012. I think what we didn't anticipate is that there was quite a lot of interaction between the legal team of GCIS together with the service provider that was appointed, because at the time we felt that immediately after concluding the bidding process, I think things were going to run smoothly, but I think we needed to make sure that all the service level agreement and the project plan is in line with the bid specification, because we didn't want to see ourselves having some legal wranglings because of inconsistencies of the service level agreement with the bid specification. But we're happy to report, Chairperson, as you can see the pictures, the project is now running, it's ready, and it's going. We have a dedicated project leader who is Tandi Tomo, qualified quantity surveyor, who is actually our contact person who's driving this project and reporting to management on a weekly basis. We are anticipating the occupation date to be set the 1st of May 2013, but the project itself, we are anticipating the building, the construction, and the cabling and everything to be ready as early as March. But the occupation date, as we anticipated, to be to the 1st of May 2013. Thanks. Those are the pictures, Chairperson. You can see it's the state of art. It's the state of art of the building, technology, you name it. We will actually be able to up our game as we move into the new premises. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to conclude, I just want to assure members here that the numbers that you've just seen, we are a direct replica of what you have on the MTF book, of treasury book. So it's not just wish list. This is a properly appropriated budget. So the strategy that we have here, the numbers that are displaying here, are legit numbers. And so this is us, Chairperson. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. We are running 10 minutes behind. We should have taken tea at 11. Now it's 10 past 11. We can take tea and come back at 20 past 11. Then we'll start questions and for members and so on. I can see nobody wants tea. We can proceed.
Thank you. Provide the poor man. He can't come to work.
Members, questions. Honorable Shin, Honorable Killen.
One thing that a sort of immediate reaction I have to this department is that you must be the most forest unfriendly department in government. I mean, you produce, you know, a couple of forests worth of paper. Some, you know, we actually need to look at a little more. Communications, because obviously there are challenges with that. But I just look at how green are you? With all this volume of paper that you keep producing. So that would be my first comment. Also, the other one is that I'll obviously have a whole host of questions, but I'll try and keep focused on them in two sort of areas. What you're doing a lot of effort in researching the media landscape, the effectiveness of your government spend in the mainstream media landscape, from what I understand. What are you doing to monitor the effectiveness of your own publications that you're sending out, all your own newspapers, your magazines? What are you doing, A, to ensure that they do get to where they're supposed to get? What is your audit of your distribution network? And B, is there an independent audit of the effectiveness of your communications? It's all very well churning out, you know, 14 million newspapers or whatever it is that you want to do. But if the people you're targeting are having to step over gutters of flowing sewage and rubbish dumps, they're really not going to believe anything you might tell them in that newspaper. So I'm sort of wondering, you know, how you're going to measure the effectiveness, because surely your main PR, if one puts it, for government is the effective delivery of services, and that's, you know, perhaps kicking butt in at the local level, getting your councillors and that to perform. I was also aghast, and doubly aghast since we had the presentation, of the size of the salary bill. It's currently 43.5% of your budget. Now, this must be one of government's most successful job-creating projects. And then you say that you actually asked for, you know, double that, which surely is quite a shocker. I mean, surely a lot of the stuff that you're doing could be outsourced more cheaply and more effectively to existing publishing houses, to existing structures out there. Then also on the government information offices that are spread around the provinces and the municipalities, and you saying there's been a staff turnover there, and you're going to deploy your own people, if that's what I understand, that you're going to have your own communications officers out there. Was that perhaps a misunderstanding on my part? To get your message across, are these going to be locally employed people, or are they going to be imposed from central government? If so, to whom are they answerable? Are they answerable to the local municipality, or are they answerable to Pretoria? Because obviously we have here the different governments. There are different parties in government in different places. Whose message will they be communicating? Central governments, and therefore will it only be information about national government programs? Or how will that coordinate against what is sort of regional and provincial and local mandates? I also wanted to understand the difference between, because in the presentation it was talked about the government corporate identity, but the slides say corporate government and state identity. So I'm wanting to know how you differentiate government and state, and whether state isn't perhaps the identity, promoting the state isn't the responsibility of Brand SA. And yes, I wanted to know whether your public service magazine that you're putting out, will you be subjecting yourselves to the Audit Bureau of Circulations on that if you're going to go outside for additional advertising revenue? You said it was going to be self-sustaining. Well, you know, are you going to subject yourself to the ABC audits? Yeah, I talked about the I'll leave it at there for now. There may be follow-ups.
Honourable Killen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would like to start just by asking the new building. It looks great. Well, first of all, can I just say that, as usual, your presentation is a very slick presentation. I will come back to the introductory remarks by the CEO, but just to say that, as always, it's highly professional, and I really want to commend you for that. I just need clarity on a few things. First of all, your building, the new building. it is clear that if we look back where you come from, if you've more than doubled the numbers of staff. So clearly you are sitting in premises that are very sort of tight for effective operation. I want to know more about the contract, how did it happen, etc., and, you know, who was awarded the contract. Secondly, is it going to be the GCIS property, or is it going to be managed through Public Works? Is it going to become part of the portfolio of Public Works? How are you managing that? Thirdly, do you think that you will come out within the project estimate, costs, etc., or are we going to see some overruns, escalation in building costs, etc.? Thirdly, could you perhaps give us an indication of the building, if it seems that it will have absolute state-of-the-art facilities, etc. What costs would the technological component of the new building be, of the total construction cost, etc.? Do you have more or less an indication of what that is? The last thing is, obviously, one cannot always predict an economic slide and the need for haircuts, etc., as the Treasury, the Minister of Finance said. But obviously, it is a matter that could put the GCIS in a little bit of an embarrassing situation, where everybody is trying to shrink in. This looks very luxurious. How are you going to communicate the message around that? I think that is going to be one of your challenges. Then, secondly, Chair, I would like to get to some of the detail of the presentations. If we look at the presentation and some of the introductory remarks that was made by Mr. Manye, I want to say, if you look at page 7, you mentioned one of the challenges being public perceptions on government performance. I beg your pardon. Yes, I'm speaking from the presentation. You have indicated that part of the problem is that there are negative perceptions that you need to counter, and that it must be communicated more what was achieved, what has been achieved. But I am concerned about the statement that he made, and that is that the ANC called for a better delivery on the side of the GCIS. And you said, the ANC said, you should popularize government's work. Now, there's a fine line of any government information system, and that is to communicate what is being delivered or to cover up for failure of delivery. And that is then to play a propaganda role, and for which you can be accused of being a public-funded propaganda machine of the ANC. How do you deal with that? Because, again, it is an issue of, fortunately, you've got a highly professional staff. But it is going to, as you expand your operations, as you expand some of the programs, you can be criticized, you know, going into broadcasting, going into satellite communication and all of that. Because more staff and a bigger building to accommodate them without real improved service delivery is going to put you in a credibility crisis. It could be said that what the people are feeling on the ground and what you are communicating, there's a credibility gap between the two. How are you going to solve the credibility crisis? Because I understand that you want to train communicators, but ultimately, actually, the best communicators are the politicians that are serving in the different spheres of government. And if they don't sort of see to it that delivery is taking place, it is going to be difficult to train people to communicate messages that the people will feel it's not true. So I want to ask you about that. Also, I think you linked the training programs to the public administration learnerships, and I want to know if there is not an institute where public service people have an opportunity to be trained, and that communication could also be linked to that. Is it necessary for you to have a training unit or more focus, can I say, programs to improve that? Then I think we need to commend you for your effort to improve your interaction with the media, because at one stage there was an impression that there was a sort of a conflicting arrangement between the media and government information services. And actually, you know, media is, and I know there's a lot of media here now, but if they receive well-constructed releases, they very often, because they're also under strain of capacity in the media, they very often run information that is given to them. So I think you should not underestimate their role to also communicate government messages. So it is good that you try to patch up the relationship with the media houses. I think it's important. There should not be a sort of a conflict, a role of conflict between the two. Chair, and also I think on page 8 we need to commend them for the caravan unit idea of bringing information to local communities, etc. My question on the public sector manager, beautiful document. I've gone through it. I want to know who is really the target market. Have you identified your target market? Who are they? And how will you adjust the current advertisements that are carried? Because if I look at it, it looks more that government institutions, Joburg, municipality, market section, I know there's an ad on Beetroot, etc., Joburg markets, etc., Robben Island Museum, you know, these institutions have ads in here. Do they make any financial contribution to that? How do you carry it at present? How do you balance a very beautiful magazine, but which is clearly costly? How do you make sure that you will move over to attracting the type of ads that could make this magazine self-sustainable going forward? Do you have any idea of the penetration and your target market as far as that is concerned? Then your Vukuzenzele, you have now turned over to your print type, newspaper print type. I think Ms. Shin has also asked about the reach of this document. This publication, how do you assess if it is reaching the different communities? So as far as that is concerned. Thank you. The audit of government's corporate identity, I think it's a huge challenge, because state departments, by their very nature, tend to operate in silos. So it is going to be a real challenge to see to what extent that you will get bind in. But in the end, it could advance proper communication. So all I'm saying is I think that is going to be very difficult. If you're saying on page 11 you want to set and influence the media agenda through a robust, proactive and efficient rapid response system, what is meant with influencing the media agenda? Can you perhaps just elaborate further on that? And then my question about some of the programs is your new program of buying bulk. It makes sense that that it could save some costs as long as the unit and that the agency is operated very efficiently, because some of our government agencies have not had a very good record. And I must say, as far as financial management, et cetera, MDDA is one of the examples that we could quote. And you're quite right as far as that is concerned. We sometimes differ on the MDDA's perception of their media and our perception of their mandate. But essentially, we can say it's a well-run agency. What measures will you put in place to make sure that it is not something that is also going to escalate? Because government departments, by their very nature, again, just grow. We look at your budget 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, it was 28, 29, it was 73.5 versus 170.8. So it's more than doubled in the 5 year period. So clearly, one needs to curtail expenditure again. I'm concerned because you were very fortunate to get some funds from Treasury. Many of the departments who are delivery departments they were really not so lucky that they got the money, and you were. The last issue is, if you're saying Project 2, you mentioned that as well as in Program 3, the issue of taking the SONA speech to local communities and all the effort that goes into that. My question is again, yes, it was a very important bold step of infrastructure development that was announced by the president. But is it value for money to go through with all the expenses of going through down to all the levels and to the communities with a speech which is essentially an announcement of a government program? Would it not be better to go to specific communities where specific projects will be undertaken to explain to them, here's a bridge or here's a road, this road in this area? Take Northwest last night. It was not good for government last night on SABC to see that in Northwest some farmers had to start putting some soil on roads that used to be tarred roads. Now, that would certainly make more sense if government, and which government did, if government announced a sort of a program on road infrastructure in the Northwest province. Now, certainly that would make much more sense, also from a value for money perspective, if your communication is targeted for a specific community which will ultimately benefit from programs that will be coming their way. Thank you, Chairperson. Those are some of the issues that were a sort of a matter of concern, and I would like to hear responses. Thank you.
Well, I would say.
Thank you, Chair. I wish I could say I don't have any more questions after that. However, I'm going to attempt not to repeat questions that have been asked, but there may be some overlap in some of my questions, Chair. Let me start right at the, start with the last item first. In terms of the building, I assume that the 50 million rand that was given by Treasury is not in your budget, because I can't find it anywhere. So it's in another department's budget. And again, based on the Honourable Killian's question, the logical assumption is that it's with Public Works. So just clarity on that. But what I actually want to ask in relation to that, Chairperson, is the presenter mentioned that they should in fact have occupied that building March 2012. They've only started construction in January 2012. That implies there's been probably a delay in excess of 12 months. Was there an impact then on the final costing of this building? Because if I was a contractor and I was supposed to start in 2010, or even 2011, and there's a 12-month delay, it does have an impact on the final product due to inflation, amongst other things, etc. And then I think, importantly, what caused that particular, a delay of a year at the very minimum, I would imagine. Okay, then going on to the presentation, On page 7, there, one of the challenges was mentioned, cluster client relations, and obviously the client in this regard are the various departments. Now, the response is improved stakeholder engagement. If the presenter or the CEO can just elaborate in terms of, I mean, it's a very broad statement. It doesn't really tell us how you've addressed that challenge and whether it has in fact been wiped out or whether it's a process going forward. Then, similarly, on the same page, the uneven skills, and you may have answered my question here. My question was really, were you referring only to employees within GCIS or across the board in other departments? And I think at some point when the other presenter made his presentation, he did indicate that you're going to take people that are affected or have to responsible for communications in all the departments, and you're actually going to be training them. So I presume that is where the uneven skills come in. But, I mean, the question that should really be asked here, and maybe not so much of GCIS, but of all the other departments, if you're going to employ somebody for a specific job in communications, you'd expect that they are skilled in that particular job that you're employing them for already. Now, I can understand if you're just going to have a, some sort of a workshop where you get the branding and you get the way they put out the message, but, you know, it also implies that there are people in other departments employed in these positions responsible for communications, which perhaps do not know what they're doing as far as communications are concerned. Then, yeah, there's a document that you mentioned, the government communications strategy that's been approved by Cabinet. Now, as a portfolio committee, we obviously have to do oversight over your department as well as the other entities. Now, would that communication strategy be available to this portfolio committee so that we can exercise oversight in terms of the approved strategy? Then you mentioned the fantastic, or somebody mentioned the fantastic database or archive or photographs that GCIS have. May I just ask, and I don't know the answer, that's why I'm asking, in the yearbook, for example, all the photographs that are used in that book, does that come from your archives, or do you have to source them elsewhere? And if so, why would you need to source it from outside sources? Share on page 9, and it links to some of the questions that may have been asked. It goes to monitoring. There's mention made of well-researched analysis of service delivery. Now, this is a problem, I think, for government throughout. I want to give you an example in terms of what you're saying, that you're developing this unit. It's not only about service delivery, but if I take an example that I'm very familiar with coming from human settlements, then would you, for example, in terms of this analysis and research that you'd be doing, would you, for example, be looking at the impact of, say, subsidized housing of those very beneficiaries, people that have now received a house, but how does it actually impact on their lives? Because, you know, when we as a human settlements portfolio committee do oversight on the ground, we find that in many instances, the fact that a person has now received a decent shelter of some sort, and it's not always decent because we know what the quality is like, but inevitably, we have found that people, a lot of them, move from their newly acquired, newly received subsidized house back into an informal settlement because it hasn't really improved their quality of life. It's put more of a responsibility on them. Now, that's just an example that I'm putting forward in terms of your analysis of delivery, whether that is the type of analysis. Does it, the actual delivery, and it could go beyond housing. I mean, it could go to the roads that's been mentioned by Honorable Killia. Then you spoke about, again on page 9, ward-based distribution of information. I'd like to know what process you've got. How does it actually get distributed? I know we as members get a pack. Usually we take it to our constituency offices, or some of us do, and try and distribute it that way. But and maybe it's my councillors that's to blame, but I'm not aware that the councillors equally get the pack that they have to distribute. So just more information in terms of getting your information down there to grassroots level. And then some other members have touched on that. Then on page 11, I'm quite interested in this proactive response, which I think is obviously important and that needs to be done. But in this regard, when you pick up an issue that needs a rapid response, as you call it, does GCIS make the response in consultation with a department that's affected, or do you in fact alert the affected department and then leave it up to them to respond to it? What role do you play? Do you sort of monitor that whole response and do it together with them, or do you simply sort of put out fires and they can attend to it later to the outfall? On 13, I want to, there's been mentioned that there is a, on the structure, that one of these positions is not funded. That's the Communication Service Agency. Now, my understanding between a position that is not funded and a position that is vacant but funded means that it's budgeted for, but the person hasn't been appointed. In this instance, you indicate it's not funded. So I'm assuming, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that it's in fact not budgeted for. You've now identified this particular department, but to date it hasn't been budgeted for because it's not funded, and that's the reason, hence, it's a vacant position. But if I could just get clarity on that, please. Because, again, you know, protocol and business principles would dictate that if you're going to establish a division or a department, then you're going to make sure that in your budget you've got funding for that position. I mean, it doesn't make sense to actually create a department if there's no budget for it. So it was just a point of clarity there. Page 15, Chairperson, it says, and this comes to the assessment of the communications intervention, it says it's a new initiative. Mention was made that GCIS was in the early, late 90s was established. Does that mean since then nothing was done to do any assessment? Over the years you've had the same mandate, essentially, but nothing was really done to assess your communications interventions. It's a new assessment. You've just woken up to the fact that perhaps some assessment needs to be done to see how successful you are. On page 16, I would just like to know, this 20-year review, which I think is necessary, which I think is going to be good, when you talk about consulting public and role players, presumably it's obviously not just going to be a government and your political heads and so on. You're talking about the public at large as well, because what I'd like to see in this 20-year review is not only the successes, but certainly the failures as well, so that one can learn from them, so that people are aware, and perhaps where the failure existed and now it's been addressed. I mean, the idea is not to, the idea is to provide a factual historical book of what has happened over the last 20 years and not just focus on the successes. And in that regard, that I would imagine you would certainly be consulting with more and wider than just government and its entities. And then I'm a little bit concerned that you actually don't have a target for this. It's a 20-year review. The 20 years is, what, 2015, somewhere thereabout, or 2014. Surely within, I would imagine, 24 months or so thereafter, that should be your target date to have this book out. Otherwise, you don't want to produce it 5 years later. It doesn't have the same impact. Then, Chair, I'm almost there. Page 18, I had a question about the digital, what was it, page 18, let me go back to that, storage of your press clippings. Perhaps I was wrong, but I got the impression that in the past it's just been done, it's some sort of hard copy type thing. It's only now going over to a digital process. And so in terms of your targets that you've got there, that's a different question. But somewhere you're talking about digitizing all your historical data, and your targets are the same. If I recall correctly, I don't have a page here now, it was 3,000. Now, I would imagine that you're going to, obviously in the future it's mostly digital, but your targets then include trying to catch up with the backlog. The presenter mentioned 10,000, but you're looking at the target of 3,000. So whilst you're going forward and you're digitizing all new stuff, you must try and catch up with the backlog as well. So eventually you've got everything digitized. I don't get that impression in terms of the targets that you've set yourself. Chair, this is perhaps an observation that is not correct, but much has been said, and I do applaud it. I do believe that I often tell my constituency and my councillors, if I want something done, I give it to a female. It was said here that there's two females and two males in, I think it was Program 2. When I look at the chief directors there, unless this GCI structure is not up to date, there are two males and two females. Now, that may not be important, but it's important in terms of the information that we're getting. There's referred to Mr. Simons, I think it is, and then Mr. Seal, and the other two are Ms. Modise and Karim. So all I want to know is what is correct. Do we have three females? I think it was said there were three females. And if one of the gentlemen underwent a sex change operation, you don't have to tell us who it is. But I'd just like to get the correct information, please. Page 22, and I'm almost at the end, Chairperson. I'm skipping a few of them. Your copies of your PSM, somebody's touched on it, your public sector magazine, that you've got a target, I think you said, of 10,000 senior public officials. And those people, it's your target market. Why would you increase fourfold in your outer years? Are you telling us sort of subtly that the public service in that senior bracket is going to increase fourfold? Because that's your target market. You're not going to sell it to somebody else. You're not going to give it to somebody else. That's what I assume. Why would you look at from 120,000 copies to 480,000 copies? Are you looking at extending the target market beyond just those people? Or like I say, do you know something that we don't and that particular sector is going to increase fourfold over the next couple of years? Chair, I just want to go to some finance things which I'm quite interested in. Page 34, mention was made that you actually requested 28% increase over your budget. You got 17%. I think as the Honourable Killian said, you should go on your knees and say thank you very much. A lot of departments don't get those sorts of increases. And then looking at it, again, the outer years is a drastic reduction. So what has caused this specific spike? And then in the outer years, you quite happy with a lot less. Is there something that's going to, a once-off thing that is happening? And again, I assume it's not the building that's in here. So is there going to be, what is going to cause this spike in this current financial year and then if you don't need it in the outer years? Chair, I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Trochan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, CEO, for your presentation. My view is a little bit different. I don't see you and yours. You are part of our government, so it is our government that you are representing, so I don't like the term when we use your government. It is a portfolio that is helping our government to succeed. That's the first point I want to make. It's about us succeeding in our country. And then secondly, we are striving to have a green economy, as our previous member said. We mustn't strive to neglect our communities who don't have the e-services. That's important for us. Research has shown that e-connectivity has not taken place as fully as we'd like to have it. So when we go green, obviously don't forget our people on the ground who are not e-connected as yet. I would like to see how you can use the recycling of paper, for example. So as we will work towards a green economy, we cannot leave our people behind, especially those who are not e-connected, because there is no connectivity. Universal access is not happening at the present moment. People can tell me that, oh, we got more cell phones and more people are using more cell phones. But research has shown that people do not have airtime on the ground. They don't have the funds. So how do they get access to those services? So I still feel that let's not leave the people on the ground behind. Having said that, linked to e-services, I would like to ask services regarding the Tusong centers, please. I'm a little bit concerned as to how these Tusong centers are working, and I like what you were saying earlier on. We were focusing on how GCIS makes, you know, the building of these centers, and that you were lagging behind. And obviously, your focus is not building these centers or constructing these centers, but obviously providing a service at these centers. So I'd like to know that you are responsible for delivering services inside the Tusong centers. And in my constituency, for example, the people cannot afford the training, the computer training. They tell me it's 800 rand per session. And who then decides you deliver a service, is it free? That's what I want to know. People need access to internet to get this information, for example, that you are delivering and communicating to them. So do they access this information at a fee? That is what I'm asking you. And then you talk about branding these two fund centers. Just explain it a little bit more in detail to me, branding them. Just add that for more clarity on that. Then I'd like to go back. Let me just look at my papers here. This document, the thick document that you gave me, on page 17, yeah. And then let's go back to the other doctor on page 13, which is the sonar, okay, that you are showing there now. Okay. On page 17, it shows three vacancies, yeah, on your left-hand side, yeah. But in this one, I've got no vacancies here. Okay? So there's no vacancies here in this second document. So just explain that to me. Why does the one document say there's three vacancies and then it talks about the marketing, advertising, and buying, as well as a media production? Those, yeah. I hope you got that. Okay, so there's three vacancies in the one document, and in the other document there is no vacancies. So just explain that a little bit to me as to why there's a vacancy occurring, those three vacancies occurring. I also want to add to the rapid response to what the previous member said. GCIS, do you have your own journalists who work for the rapid response? Okay. Do they then pick up the information? Just want to know who's the team that picks up that information, and they see what's happening, or monitor the information, and then inform that team, a component of that team, how is it made up? So I'd like to, I'm very, very happy with your Braille, your magazines, the Vukuzenzele, being published in Braille. Excellent work. So where are you distributing that to? That I'd like to know, that information that's produced in Braille, I'd like to know where to, who are you distributing that information to? And then I also asked the question before, and I'm hoping to see that you will give this information to myself. The DVDs are accessible to me, for example. I don't want any more DVDs where they are doing a briefing or presentation and it's verbally presented. There's no captioning. I'd like something like that. Give it to me, and then when I go out to my constituency, I take that DVDs with me, and then I can distribute it. So I'm helping with the dissemination of information for GCIS. So just make sure that your DVDs are accessible and captioning. Your material becomes digitalized. Please, it must be accessible, please. Whether it's on the web, on YouTube, and so forth, but make sure that it is accessible to those who do not have, are not able to hear, and so forth. Okay, I'm covered quite a lot here. Let me just go back and look at my questions. Nowhere do I see whether you cover 2% people with disabilities. I see, yes, fantastic, too. More women are employed eye, and I'm glad what your department is, and I think it's women behind you, CEO, that makes you so successful. But people with disabilities, your percentage, please, I'd like to see, because I know where you mentioned 2% of people employed with disabilities in your in GCIS. Thanks.
Thank you. GCIS, just stick to the questions. Don't do another presentation. But there are two issues which I want you to add. The request of community media, in particular the newspapers, in assisting the distribution of your magazine, your Vuz and Zeb, because the personnel during oversight asked us, and we interacted with GCIS to say they want to have that magazine of yours inserted in their own, as they distribute their own newspapers and so on, that become one of your distribution venues. How far about looking into that request and so on? The second one is what was misinterpreted as your initiative, our initiative of government at SPEN committed to community media. Because that is our initiative, initiative as a committee, which we wanted to see through, that government does support community media and so on around that matter. You can respond.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sure the various owners of the programs are going to go into, they've picked up their own areas. But I'll just pick up what I can here, and then they'll fill in the gaps in the areas where they specialize. Firstly, I just want to overall just to thank the general response from members, and really the objective way in which they've assessed, and the questions that are coming are very legitimate questions, and particularly Honorable Member Killian for your very, very good complimentary comments about the presentation, about everything else that you spoke about. I really want to appreciate all those comments and from the members at large. Chair, straight into it, forest unfriendly. I think I'm very happy that this question is raised, Chairperson, because this is one of the key issues that the GCIS we're trying to make all South Africans to understand, that the reason we're a developmental state in this country is a reflection of where we are as a society. There's a very tiny minority in this country that is e-based, as it were. So up until that tiny minority is a majority, we will continue to devour the forest, unfortunately. Our people haven't got access to E and all of that, so we are looking forward to the plans from the Department of Communications to make sure that the nation as a whole is E-enabled. Up until that happens, we have no other option. So that's why we continue this way. In terms of the effectiveness of measures, I'll leave Vusi to talk to that in detail, how we're measuring our effectiveness in communication. But just to add that one of the new measures, Chairperson, that we'll be using now is something brand new in the market, that the GCIS innovation, something called the throughput, to say to what extent is what we're saying being captured. And one of the challenges, Chairperson, in measuring the effectiveness of communication is sometimes the people that depend on this for this communication. If, for instance, we are to use media as an example, as people that must relay our information, we then depend on their editorial policy. So you can speak until you are blue in the face. If the editorial policy is that this is not newsworthy, then you are dead in water. That is the fundamental issue. So as we measure the effectiveness of communication, we must bear in mind the kinds of people that are entrusted with the responsibility of conveying the message. This is why, Chairperson, we ended up with the Vuvuzenzele, we ended up with our own product, because of the fact that we do want our information across, but also have to respect the editorial policy. Salary bill of GCIS is high. I'm glad to pick this up because it's an indication of the quality of people we have in GCIS. You know, a chairperson say that if you want monkeys or if you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. I didn't invent that that phrase. In GCIS, we have high-quality people, highly experienced specialist people. This is a department that deals with the science of communication. This is a department that deals with something that is intangible. We don't build bricks here. We deal with intellectual property. You need professionals, as it were. So this is what we're dealing with. So if one professionals, this is what's going to happen. So, Chairperson, I think it's an indication of the quality of the people that we have in this organization. So it's not going to get any better because one of the challenges we face is that because of the quality of the people that we have, they get poached. So we sometimes have to counter-offer the poaching from our staff. So that is an indication of really the quality. Communicators at local level, whose message? One of the differentiating factors, and I know that maybe Nibo's going to speak to this, but the key issue here, the approach of GCIS in communication is to be, if you like, the infrastructure of communication. We help people with systems, we help people behind the scenes, but the actual communicators out there are the ones that are actually going to do the actual communication. We help them how to put together a proper press release. The content is theirs, and all of that. So our issue is to ensure that the communication infrastructure is enabled. If they don't know how to invite media and all of these kinds of things, but it's largely our approach is to support communication. Indeed, we want ministers in front. We want councillors in front. We want mayors in front, premiers, etc. Those are the people that must communicate the policies of government, but we must ensure that there is a proper infrastructure. Vusi will talk to the government and state, what's the difference and all of that. Will we be subject to ABC? Vusi will talk to that. Contracts and who got contracts, when and all of that, the cost of running and cost of IT. I'm going to leave all of those details to our corporate services. To look into that. The building looks luxurious in a shrinking environment. What is the how are we going to get that right? I think, Chairperson, indeed, that building is going to look good, and we think that one of the key things that we need a paradigm shift in is how should government as an employer look like. We need that paradigm shift across the whole of public service. We can't have a situation where, with your eyes closed, when you open your eyes and you see old desks, a pile of papers and all of this, then you know you're in government. And then when you close your eyes and open your eyes and you see technology, glass and all of these tiles, then you know in the private sector. We need to get rid of that mentality. Otherwise, we will not be able to keep good people. If Honorable Chairperson, I'm sure you'll appreciate the amount of time that people spend at work. It's actually more than the time they spend at home. So therefore, the working place has got to be compliant on a whole range of matters. So, but also, I think the issue here is also the kind of technology that we're moving into. It's in the past, yes, we can have an ordinary room and fill it up with drums and all of this because that was the sign of the times. But today, with a digital environment, the whole infrastructure is different. With the whole push also towards green buildings, everything must change. So in keeping with that, our buildings indeed will progressively look modern. And then there's the issue of...
I think, Mr. Mani, before you continue on the issue of building, I think it's the issue of cost, whether that building is within reasonable cost, so that does not become out of the range and so on. maybe that's the issue. I don't believe either that you have to be in a shack if you are in government. But I think it's the cost issue and so on, which probably you can assist in particular whether and so on, because we don't want to call you in a few days' time to come and explain escalation and other things and so on. I think that's the certainty which members they also are looking for.
Yeah. Okay. The corporate services executive here, Chair, will go into that detail. I just want to talk to the statistics of this thing, but the actual number, what's being appropriated, what we're gonna see over the years, whether we're gonna make it, and all of this, all of that will be covered, and I have no doubt that we will come right. And there's a question about the negative perception. That we needed to counter popularization of government services versus propaganda. I'm paraphrasing here, issues of balance, credibility gap, and all of that. I think in response to that, Chairperson, what we're saying is that you know, GCIS information is public information. We print out documents. If anyone was to question the credibility of GCIS information, we would welcome that challenge, that prove us wrong, that what we're saying is an exaggeration of good. Actually, it's not that way, it's the other way. We would challenge anybody. We think our information is objective, our information is credible. But the key issue here, Chair, there is an understanding that we should all have, that there is a there is a two-way approach to communication that we need to understand in the same way. The one, indeed, is to communicate the actual service, no problem. But communication itself is a service. People must know information. You see, for instance, an example is made about SONA elsewhere, that why are you communicating this announcement so much instead of communicating the actual service. It is important for constituencies and for communities out there to know what this government is committing to do. It actually helps to make the government accountable, because if you just deliver on a blank check, people don't know whether that's good or bad. But if you told people what is it that you plan to deliver, then oversight by the nation is possible. So it actually helps in terms of bringing more transparency and making the oversight role much more broader and beyond Parliament. We have the communities themselves that said what you said. So we think that that is very important to make sure that our government continues to be held in check by the communities out there. Is it necessary to have a training unit? Who's the target market? And who's going to talk to all those matters? Do you attract the right ads to sustain? Who will talk to that? To reach Vuvuzenzele? Who will talk to that? What is meant by influencing media agenda? That issue, what we're saying there is that indeed, as government, we do not apologize for wanting to be out there with government information, the right information. We are saying we shouldn't have a situation where the only time you see something about government is when there's some alleged corruption or something didn't go right or the building cost here or something is just not right. We have to have media that will proactively report on the good work that government is doing. That's what we're talking about when we're saying in the newsroom, they must be inundated with good information about government. This is what we aim to do. This is why we have this non-cabinet weeks, massive amount of briefings. It's because we want the media to write about what government is doing. So that's what we talk about. That's what we mean by influencing the media agenda. And if we don't tell media this information, they come up and they make all kinds of speculations. Then you spend all the time trying to correct them. So it is very much in everybody's interest that we volunteer this information and we give them everything that they need to know. bulk buying must be efficient, and how do you ensure that it will run efficiently? Indeed, Chairperson, you know, even if you look at my foreword in the documents provided, yeah, we make this point abundantly clear that as GCRS, we are not going to rely on the cabinet decision only to make sure that departments use this GCRS service. We're not going to look at only that the cabinet decision. We must run an efficient operation. We must run a very good machinery so that we win the confidence of the rest of government departments. So, indeed, we are on the same page here in terms of making sure it's run efficient. This is why we also had to also get an industry expert. The person that's going to be running this bulk buying is second to none. It's the best in the country that's going to come and work for government in GCIS. So, indeed, Chairperson, we are quite in line with this issue here. I've spoken to the issue of cascading SONA. And then the issue of the 50 million budgets, corporate services, we'll talk to that. Delay in construction costs and all of those corporate services, we're going to talk to that. Stakeholder engagement to deal with clients, how? NIBO is going to talk to that. Uneven skills in government, how do people get employed if they don't really know communication? I think that was the sense of the question. I think the issue here, if you go again, Chairperson, to the thick document, the strat plan, the heading we use there in the foreword, I think the heading we use there is grooming. That's the word we use. And therefore, we're deliberate in choosing that word, because what we're saying is that most communicators might have the actual qualification of communication. That's the basis of getting employed. Government would employ you based on your qualification and experience. But we say uneven because some people are high flyers, some are not. So what we want to do is to take everybody to the high flyer level. That's what we want to do. So that's what this training is going to do. It does not assume an absolute zero base on communications experience and all that. We know people have got some level of experience, but others are better than others. So we want everybody to be the best they can be. Communication strategy, is it available? Yes, Honorable Member. In fact, one of the first presentations was made in the, maybe the Honorable Member has just joined the committee, but that presentation was made here and we got a nod in this committee. But it's a document that is freely available and we can make it available as of yesterday. Yearbook pictures, Bruce is going to talk to that. How does analysis impact on human lives? I think the issue there, Chairperson, you cannot have an executive that operates on a hunch. Executives must operate on well-researched data. The reason, if you look at human settlements, for instance, if you look at human settlements, the reason we are now have upgraded the quality of houses in that area is because of the kind of information that was coming back from research to say what we have can be improved, as it were. We have solid data in terms of those kinds of inputs. So therefore, when the Minister for Human Settlement goes and changes and does this and does that, it's informed by that. That's the importance of analyzing all of these things. That's how it's impacts human lives. Ward-based distribution, I think a comment is made that we don't see it somewhere and so on. I think we want to just bring to the attention of the Honorable Member there that today we are presenting a strategy, which means we are presenting something that we are still going to do. It's a plan, it's what we plan to do. This is what we are doing today. Indeed, the word base is what we are thinking of doing. So there's no evidence of this because it's a plan. That's the situation. Rapid response. How do you alert? How do you respond? How do you do this rapid response? I'll let the team to speak to this. But at a high level, it's both. It's both. We would work very close with departments and say, have you seen this issue? How are you dealing with this issue? Can we help you craft a response on this issue? And as you craft a response, here are the key messages which you think you should emphasize. But then we let the department issue the statement. In certain instances, when it's just blatant distortion of facts, we engage directly. And we just advise the department that we're dealing with this matter so that we don't have both of us dealing with the same issue. Not funded position and so on. How do you, what's the story there? Indeed, you know, there's various schools of thought on these terminologies. Some people will say to you, there's no such a thing as an unfunded vacancy. If it hasn't got funds, it's not vacancy in the first place, and so on. So there's that school of thought. And then there is another school of thought that says...
Which one are you believing in?
Yeah. Let me complete here just now. Yeah. And then there's another school of thought that says funds follow function. Because in the public service, it's not all up to you as the accounting officer to do these things. There's a process, and the process involves making a motivation and all of that, and then you have your structure approved. So once your structure is approved, then your next assignment is to try and get the funding of that. And you say, look, I've got a TPC, structure approved, minister has approved the creation of this post and all of that. Now I need money for it. So then you have a situation where you actually have a post, but it's not funded, as it were. But we are very sensitive to the nuances around this, that we don't have a situation where we confuse PESAL, and then when we are asked about vacancies, we start counting vacancies of posts that don't have funding yet. So we were quite alive to the detail of this, but what we're saying is a correct position, that we have an identified position. Now the next item is to get the funding for it. As it were. Assessments, Vusi is going to talk to these assessments that have been asked here. And the 20-year review, will you consult broader than government? Definitely. It can't be an assessment if we're just going to be asking ourselves and so on. So it will be a much, much broader consultation there. Explain the digitizing target. Vusi is going to explain that. Correct info on chief directors and so on. I think really the issue there is the issue of restructuring, and we are dynamic. It's a picture, the one picture is a picture before restructuring, the other picture is a picture after restructuring, as it were. But the team here can explain in greater detail. And why the increase in the target of PSM? Are we going to have more managers? Vusi, what do you know that we don't know? Vusi is going to explain that, and so on. But I'm sure it's not a complicated issue there, because I think it's the issue of the current situation does not cover all the managers in the first place. But Vusi will talk to that. What is the one-off deduction that we are now, in the outer years, getting lesser? Can you now do less? More with less, what that means. The people at the back here, Chairperson, who've got MDDA, who also used to have Brand SA, and they had a huge allocation. And now, as you see, now we only reflect MDDA, we no longer reflect Brand SA. So they're going to go directly or via another area in the appropriation. So that is a big chunk that is coming out. It's not going to come through our vote anymore. Going forward. What's that? And then communities without e-services, I think Honorable Member Drogba there was actually responding by in default to the other Honorable Member here who was worried about the deforestation, that indeed we have those communities that don't have e-services, and therefore we must be careful that the green agenda must not disadvantage the disadvantaged communities, as it were. So we are quite alive to that. and issues about products, cell phones, and so on. Bruce will talk to that. And Tusong issues, will the fee-based branding explain what's going to happen with the branding? Nebo is going to talk to that. Rapid response, how's the team made up? Nebo is going to talk to that. Who gets the break? It's the organizations. There's a list of organizations that we have in our database that gets these products because they know better where the constituencies are. So we work through them. We've got a very reliable database. Yes, indeed, Honorable Member, we'll get to the DVD. We'll make sure that the team is here. They'll take notes and make sure you get the DVDs. It is indeed a pity in terms of people with disabilities, Chairperson. Great pity that with all our pictures, they did not bring pictures. Next time, we'll bring pictures. You know, in GCIS, very strategic and key positions are sometimes operated by people with disabilities. If you go in, if you get to GCIS, it's quite an interesting environment. There's cars that...
We're only going to come in the new building, not now.
Okay. The people with disabilities there, there's little go-karts type vehicles in GCIS of people with disabilities. It's quite an interesting situation. I mean, almost one place, one floor is, for some reason, they are sort of congregated in that area because of the, what I think the thinking that was applied to say, what are the kinds of jobs that lend themselves, as it were, to people with this, so that we don't have a situation where the operational requirements make it impossible for a person with a disability. So we've matched certain operational requirements with the deficiencies that people with disabilities that people have. So we're quite proud that our people with disabilities in GCIS, they actually are not just making tea or whatever. They do strategic work. And as I say, it is a pity that we don't have our pictures to show. But we've got nothing to hide. Our numbers look good, so on. And then community media, Chairperson, as to where we are with community media, the team is going to deal with the details of that. I'm not I don't have all the facts with me, but at the high level. With community media, we have a database that we have from MDDA that we use in terms of working with community media. So I'm going to just talk to this broadly. And one of the challenges that Chairperson is the issue of who is community media in the first place. And MDDA Act is very clear who is community media, but there are people out there, various entrepreneurs that use this term because they work with the community and they bastardize the term, for lack of a better word, and call themselves also community media. So we need to be careful when we deal with this market as to who exactly is who. But also in terms of insights, one of the challenges that we face at GCIS is that indeed we do want to put in these insights, but we don't want a situation where you now by default have a situation where to get vuvuzela you pay. Because that could be the result, because now you have to buy the actual cover title. Now, if you don't buy the cover title, then you can't get vuvuzela. So there's sometimes a contradiction there. So what we do is to say if we have those communities, we really, first prize is to go directly to those communities so that there mustn't be a barrier to get vuvuzela, and the barrier can be the fact that you have to buy a particular other title just to get vuvuzela, as it were. So we try and balance all these things, Chairperson. I think we'll ask the team to pick up the gaps. Then start from here, and then we work our way down through you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thanks, CEO, and thanks for the questions, members. I think the CEO answered that one of staff at local level, but if I were to also elaborate, as I indicated before, most municipalities didn't have communicators at the municipality level. And actually, in most cases, you'd have a person who's a local economic development also been given the responsibilities of communications, and that is it's actually an added responsibility, and they don't focus on communications. But one of the local government turnaround strategy requirements was actually to focus on skills, and skills we know of municipal managers, skills of financial managers, but also skills of communicators at local level. So municipalities are now beginning to actually hire the communicators. Therefore, then our communication officers, that's why I indicated earlier on that we have a shrinking number of communicators. Our communication officers are going to be working with the municipalities to actually help with strategic communications. But the other thing is that when national ministers go to the municipalities, they don't have anybody that services them, because local community local municipality communicators are focusing on communication at the municipality and in the provinces, in the at the provincial level, but no one services the national ministers when they go to community. So our officials will do that. And yes, we do hire people from the area, because we want people who understand the dynamics and issues in the communities. The SONA at local communities, I think the CEO mentioned that, but as I was also saying, Minister Nkwinti today is at the at Majuba. You know, last week we went to Limpopo, and Minister. We went to Limpopo, and Minister Baloyi was in Waterberg. One of the things that people were saying is, I think we assume that when the president talks at the the assumption we're making is that once the president has actually made the pronouncement at the State of the Nation Address, everybody internalizes and understands that. But the State of the Nation Address is the program of government for the whole year, starting from the 9th of February until the next pronouncement. So it's important that we actually popularize and make that statement known. People understand and appreciate it. When Minister Baloyi was in Waterberg, most of the people actually said, yes, we were sitting there, we heard what the president said, but actually we never really understood it to mean this for us. And the other thing is, what the minister would then do is would, because working with the municipalities and the mayors, would actually unpack the State of the Nation Address for them in their local area. So there is appreciation for that. The question on the how GCIS are address clusters, what used to happen before we introduced the two cluster supervisors at the moment, all of us at senior management level, especially the chief directors and the deputy CEOs, we used to be focusing, doing our line function responsibilities, but over and above that, servicing departments with regards to the clusters. And that was actually stretching us a lot, because we've realized that the departments demand a lot from GCIS. There's a lot of information and a lot of support that is needed. And what we then did in order to address that, we created two posts of cluster supervisors whose responsibility is nothing but to service the departments and the clusters. And I can tell you now, member, that most departments are so appreciative of the work of GCIS, and the ministers are very, very happy with the work that the GCIS is doing. And I can tell you those two ladies are very, very popular with ministers across the board because of the value that they are adding to the work of the departments. Word-based distribution, CEO spoke about that. The rapid response comprises of, generally we hire people who are journalists. We have a director, we have a deputy director, and we have an assistant director. That is within the GCIS. But these people work with other units in the GCIS. Busi mentioned earlier that there are people in his department that are doing daily media monitoring 24 hours. And what the rapid response unit does is, as the media is being monitored, the rapid response team is able to also understand what are some of the issues that are coming where government voice is not heard. I gave the example of the UJ story in January. When that when that tragedy happened, there was no voice of government. And what our rapid response unit was able to do was to actually alert the Department of Higher Education to say, there is this thing, something needs to be done. And if you remember, immediately that day, there was actually a media briefing where the Minister of Higher Education went and made some pronouncement and that. So that's what we do. But we also work with the presidency and other departments, including the provinces. So if something big is happening in a province, we actually come in and involve them. Issues around the Tusong Service Centers, ma'am, when it's computer training. Remember the Tusong Service Centers? In the Tusong Service Center, you also have the Universal Service, USASA, actually establishing a telecenter in the center. And the telecenters usually are run by NGOs or community-based organizations, and they are running to sustain. They are being established for them to sustain themselves. So they do charge some fees. General, I also know that for me, one of the things that is exciting about these two social service centers, especially the USASA ones, is that universities like UNISA, as an example, have got a working relationship with the center managers, especially the telecomputer centers, so that then they assist the university students to write their assignments, to, you know, type their assignments, but also they use it as an office, an IT office, because most people don't have access to computers. They do not, and even computers with internet, so they provide those services. The Tusong Service Centers, the branding, what is the branding? It's generally the look and feel, but also it's about promoting the directional sign from, so that we direct people where the Tusong Servicing the centers are, but also the services that are being offered in the center. You'll be having Home Affairs. What are the suite of services that Home Affairs is providing? But also, some of these centers don't provide services every day. So part of the marketing and promotion is to also indicate which days are services coming. Earlier on, when the CEO made his presentation, he talked about the Pelo Pepa initiative, but also talked about integrated mobile units. So one of the things that we are doing is to also promote on a Tuesday, Home Affairs Labor Sasa will be coming. So we do promote those. So these are, that is what we're doing as part of the promotion of the centers. I think these are the things that covered me. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks. I'm going to respond to the building and maybe a bit on the money. The question, Chairperson, that was asked about the leased building, I think I should indicate that the 41 buildings, offices that we have are all leased, including the current one. We went out on an open tender to lease. If I could just appraise the members, is that the project of seeking alternative accommodation was started way back with National Treasury. I think obviously our first preference was to procure, but I think the financial technical unit of National Treasury, when it put the figures on the table, I think it became a project that actually never flew, and we were then afforded the opportunity to actually go out on tender. So we went out on an open tender, and I think we are happy to say, Chairperson, that the company that was awarded the tender was the cheapest. I think we went out on an open tender, and the best service provider in terms of the funds of what they were offering. And I think we want to also emphasize, Chairperson, that the whole process of awarding the tender was a very rigorous process where all the members of MANCO actually were involved, even in terms of going and doing site visits. So that whole exercise, we are confident as we sit here that it was a fair process and the best, cheapest service provider was awarded. In terms of extravagance, Chairperson, I think we want to also indicate that when we were drawing up the specs, I think there was not a single item that we put in the specification that was fed. You will note all the services that are going to be offered in the new premises are the services that we are actually currently having. We had the radio studio, we have the video studio, we had the editing suite, we had the design, all those services. The only difference is that we actually have them with the latest technology. So I think we didn't go for any FET. I think in terms of whether we do have the funding for the technology that we requested, that's the funding that National Treasury gave us. We counted everything to the T of what is it that we want in terms of technology. And we also were mindful of not being extravagant. A lot of the stuff that we can still use in the current premises, I think we want to assure the members that we will be taking it with. Some of the furniture that is not redundant, we will be taking it. Some of the equipment that is still within the lifespan, we will actually use it. So we have taken into account all the other issues that relate to extravagant, and we want to assure the members that the building project is actually above board. There's no extravagance, there's no fed. It's just that we have upgraded the technology that we are currently having at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will deal with all the questions the CEO indicated I should handle. The question of impact assessment, I think we must point out, Chairperson and honorable members, that we've always done these impact assessments, but not as a comprehensive report. What we are doing this year is elevating them to being outputs and performance indicators. And our job is really limited to the assessment of the impact of our own products, not the delivery of services. However, we do measure the mood and attitudes of citizens, which tell us things about citizens' needs, levels of dissatisfaction, and then we have a way of getting those things through to political principles. On why we are not outsourcing some of these things when it comes to products, we're not crusaders against outsourcing, but it is our experience, and we must state it to this committee, that there are instances where, as government, we outsource things that we can do and that we have the capacity to execute. Take the magazine, TSM and Vukuzenzele. We are sitting with the content. It is not the private sector that is sitting with content. We know government better than the private sector. So it would make no sense to outsource. Yes, where we don't have capacity, we would outsource. Vukuzenzele, for example, we've got journalists internally, we've got photographers, so that we will do internally. We don't have printing works. Government printers does not have the capacity to handle that volume, so we outsource that. But if we were to create that capacity as a state, as a government, we would probably not even outsource that. We do need to correct the perception that private means best. We've had experiences as GCIS where, you know, we would outsource things, and when you look at the quality of the work that comes back, and, you know, private sector can sell itself very well. You look at the quality of the work. I mean, in one instance, my CEO was actually demanding a discount or a refund, you know. But we had thought that the expertise lies outside there. So at times as government, we shouldn't undersell ourselves. We do have the skill. We do have the expertise. You look at public sector manager magazine that is out there. It can stand against the very best on any CNA shelf. If it were to be made available on shelves, it can stand against some of the best publications out there. Are we registered with the ABC? Yes, we are registered with the Audit Bureau of Circulation, both for Vukuzenzele and for PSM. Honorable Killian, we are very alert to how we interface with the ruling party, but of course we are not naive. It's not a party, it's a ruling party. But we're very, very much alive to how we need to relate with it. We certainly interface with it via our political principles. If, say, the ruling party were to come with policy discussion documents like they did on communications and the CEO referred to it, it would be naive of us as civil servants not to read that and say we are waiting for political principles. We will read it. And of course, we'll wait for political principles to see how they interpret that and bring it into the government space. But we can't interface with it the first time when political principles bring it to us. It is available on the internet, and we certainly encourage each other to read it so that when a political principle comes and says this is the line of march, we have the context of where he's coming from. Palama, the role of Palama,
in our training, they certainly have a role because that is the institution that is mandated with public service training. So we are going to be involving them with this training unit. However, we must point out that we are not going to leave the crafting of the curriculum entirely to the universities. We are the client. We know the specs. We don't want to be surprised at the end of the process to come out with a product that we had never intended. So we are going to interact and interface with the universities very closely because we know what kind of communicator we are looking for. PSM, who is the target audience? The target audience is the middle managers, MMS and SMS. There's about 50,000 MMS in government and about 10,000 SMS. And that is why the numbers going forward, they then increase. But we also have about 300 state-owned institutions. And through PSM, that's why it's not called public service manager, it's called public sector manager, so that we begin to draw in even the state-owned entities. So those managers sitting there are also part of our target audience. Yes, we are making a correct observation that the current advertising comes largely from the public sector. Next week we are launching the magazine to the commercial sector, and the advertising industry will be there. And we're hoping that we'll begin to see an increase in the private sector ad spend. Vukuzenzele, how is it reaching different audiences? We've got a service provider whose method basically is door-to-door delivery in the far-flung areas of the country. And we also used to use the intermediaries, police stations, clinics, and so on. We're currently reviewing that because when we did the assessment, we found that some of these publications lie there because really a nurse in a clinic, her interest is about saving the life of a patient and not taking care of desired products. So we are reviewing our distribution strategy. We agree that, yes, corporate identity is going to be a huge challenge. We are alive to that, and we are hoping that departments, through a gentle persuasion and sometimes a stick, will come to the party. CSA and efficiencies, CEO has touched on that a little bit. Yes, we want to be efficient and not just rely on authority from cabinet that thou shalt use us because cabinet said so. We've got to demonstrate that we can deliver value for client departments. We did a comparison, and I think this unit is one of the most efficient. We did a comparison in private sector. In fact, perhaps efficient is not the correct word. It is underfunded. Because if you look at the media buying agency in the private sector that handles the kind of business that we would handle, they are funded more than us. In fact, we think they are more fat cats than we are in government, although sometimes in the public sector we are referred as fat cats. The number of account managers that they have far surpasses the number of personnel in GCIS that is managing this function. And of course, yes, the budget, we are sensitive to that. There could be a haircut going forward. We hope there won't be a haircut. We did an exercise last day on how much as a government, based on the budget allocated to us, we spent per citizen in this country in terms of communication. And the figures then we're saying per annum we spend 19.50 per citizen in terms of communication. Now, that amounts to one copy of the Sunday Times and one copy of the Times. And that's it. So, you know, in practical terms, that's what it means. You would buy a citizen in 52 weeks one copy of the Sunday Times, one copy of the Times, and say, thank you very much, we've communicated with you. So we are saying we basically need more resources. CEO has spoken to uneven skills. The SA yearbook, the majority of pictures, they come from us. But again, in the spirit of outsourcing, where we don't have the pictures, we'll go and buy them. I can assure members the budget never goes above 20,000 if we outsource pictures. 20 years of democracy, I think CO has touched on that. But the reason we don't have targets there, Honorable Stein, it's because some of these targets are going to be informed by the consultations that have yet to happen. We need to know what is DERCO thinking in terms of an international program around the celebration of 20 years of democracy and freedom. And that is why you don't see those targets reflected here. That's basically it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, maybe just one last question on the building, the issue of the delay.
as to why is the delay in all of this. I think it's just at the high level, three issues that one need to just highlight there. Firstly, part of the arrangement was that there was going to be appended documents that were going to come later. This was SLA and the project plan. Now, when those documents came, then there was a lot of toing and froing between our legal team and the contractor, crossing the T's, dotting their I's, and all of that. That was the one part of the delay. But the other part of the delay was the lease agreement itself. Chairperson, some of us read documents. So when I came in and I read that lease document, I needed to make sure that I know what I'm signing. And I found a lot of things I was not happy with. One of them I can point out is that in the lease agreement, there was something about government having to pay rates and taxes, and yet we're leasing. And I had a problem with that equation. And in fact, if one had just blindly signed that document, we were sitting with a situation where you have a government having to pay rent and tax, and yet you're not the owner of the building, we are lessee. So we had to clean that up. But it took some struggling. We had to point out to the contractor that, no, in fact, if we do that, we'd actually even be violating the bid documents, because that was what the understanding. Second thing, just at a high level again, was the issue of consequential damage, where we found that in the lease agreement, if there was to be any rain and so on, that was going to be government's problem. If rain came and damaged carpet and damaged furniture, the lease agreement had made that government's problem. So we said, no, if it's consequential damage as a result of your poor workmanship and all that, whatever, it's one thing to fix your poor workmanship, but if there's damage as a result of that poor workmanship, it's also a problem. There was a lot of arm wrestling around that, but eventually they saw our point. So those are the things that caused this. I think it was a legitimate delay, Chairperson, because if we just signed blindly, we'd be sitting with a protracted legal years to deal with a matter that could have been solved this way. But the good news is that you've seen the building is on track, and things have been signed. We are now having peaceful sleep. We know that there should be any comebacks in terms of how we've managed this matter. Thank you, Chair.
You mean foreseen comebacks, except the unforeseen one. Members, those were the responses. I don't think we are going to take another round of hands, unless members insist that they want to take another round of hands, but it's 1 o'clock now. Okay, Rochen, Clarity, Rochen, okay, stay.
Just on the last point, and maybe I was confused here, I was under the impression initially that this building would belong to government, to the state. Are we being told now that, in fact, GCIS is going to lease this building and it's going to belong to somebody else? Is that what I'm getting from now? And if that's the case, what was the 50 million rand then up front for?
GCIS?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Indeed, GCIS is going to lease the building. I can confirm that. I think the lease will initially run for a five-year period, but we're working on a process of having to buy this building. Couldn't do it immediately. It was the first thing I wanted to do before. In fact, that's another delay, because the first thing I wanted to do is to say, no, if you want to pay this kind of money, why don't you just buy this building rather than lease it? But then if you had done that, I was then advised legally that, no, if you do that, you would violate the tender issues, because the tender, when it went out, it was not about buying, it was about leasing. So you can't midstream change from buying to leasing. So that was one of the other delays. But the money that we got appropriated for, that is to buy things like furniture, is to also buy there's these IT fixings that you also need to do that are not part of the building that you have to procure yourself. So it covers those kinds of things.
So this is the issue which you raised last year, because last year when you raised the issue, we said you must go back to Treasury and make sure that you comply with whatever you're supposed to comply with. Because I remember last year it was the same problem.
when you say you want to buy, you want to lease, and so on. Or oh, this is the same issue. Oh, okay. Is the lease to buy? Oh, okay. DM.
I think the questions were sufficiently responded to, and they are quite useful, I must say, from the honourable members as they raise them, and obviously this is a 5-year plan, which every year it gets presented in terms of its priorities for the financial year, called the strategic plan. Unfortunately, members, as they've already indicated, that they could not go through the annual performance plans in terms of whether it does speak to this plan and it has achieved on the intended goals from the previous financial year. I just hope, therefore, that in future when submissions are done, those things are done on time so that it gives sufficient time for members to can go through a set of documents so that it enables them to really play their oversight role. But nonetheless, with the questions that have been raised, I think you could realize that they are quite informative, and indeed the team from the GCIS was able then to respond to quite a number of them. On the issue of the question which was raised earlier, that whether the GCIS will not one day become a propaganda machinery of government, I think that's one thing that the honourable members ought to be sharp on, in ensure that their oversight ability does not see us going in that particular route. But the question was simple, no. It's a government communicator. It will communicate all government progress, challenges, failures, or whatever is learned, and mitigate against any distortions that might be there, because there's also distortions of information out there. And then the government communication must then also begin to mitigate on those particular distortions, but not really to become a propaganda machinery, but a communicator, so that information flows and is to ordinary people on the ground, those who have the means and those who do not have the means, to ensure, therefore, that we service all, so that with information, people can be liberated and can be able to make choices and make decisions that, you know, suit their lives. The 20-year democracy, I think, was also answered, just to really emphasize on it, that indeed all stakeholders will be consulted, including Parliament, as was the case when we did with the 10-year review of democracy. Will then obviously, you know, have processes that includes Parliament in terms of where Parliament is 20 years into the democracy. Parliament itself ought to also evaluate itself in terms of whether it's meeting the mandate that it was established for under the democracy, under the Constitution, and what are the challenges and so forth, in addition to other programs that will be there, such as the economic emancipation, the land questions, building democracy, the Millennium Development Goals, also international benchmarking. Where are we as a country, because we are now a member of a family of nations, whether our participation in those particular elements. And also have a new program that came into being called the peer review mechanism, also which had, you know, pronounced itself on certain elements that we may have to incorporate them in the review of the 20 of democracy, and what is it that we are doing to then rectify certain elements and so forth. So all stakeholders obviously will be included in that particular process, and the document has to be ready just before we celebrate our 20th anniversary in April 2014, so that by the time we celebrate, then there is a document that then begins to review, as was the case when we did the 10-year review, hoping therefore that between now and then the project will get off the ground, and indeed will then move with a particular speed to ensure therefore that we're able to give a report of an account to the nation about our 20 years of democracy and whatever challenges that comes with it. So, Chair, I'll also want to excuse myself that unfortunately I have a meeting that I have to address in Johannesburg, which is a stand-in by the Deputy President, who is no longer able to attend that particular meeting. I was going to introduce him, but now I'm going to speak on his behalf. And unfortunately I'll miss the input of the MTTA and the chair and the CEO are looking at me to say, why leave us?
But we are in good hands nonetheless in this portfolio committee. So unfortunately, I will not be able to, because the meeting, I have to be there 6:30, so it means I have to leave as soon as possible so that I am that side of the world as soon as I can. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. And are you a GCEO, like SABC? And the CEO and everyone else from GCIS who are here, who've made the presentation. Like Honorable Kidan indicated that you seem to be clear in terms of what you want to do moving forward and so on. I think you have not disappointed the members in terms of that particular focus around those particular matters and so on. So we will be following your plan and your quarterly performance and see whether you stick to your the strategic plan which you have presented today and so on. Otherwise, thanks very much. Members, we'll wait until there's indication of the lunch. I'm just skeptical that we break and then we wait for some time. We better continue and then we'll get that indication, then we break. I'm told that we can have lunch at the old assembly. What do we do, members? Can we break for just 30 minutes or so for the lunch at the old assembly? Then we'll start after that. Yeah, you are invited. Okay.
And do you have any